This is PFW in Progress.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is the distinct pleasure of the management to present to you the evening star attraction. Here we are, back after their exclusive 3-year tour of Europe, Scandinavia, and the subcontinent. Won't you welcome
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? 3 orange whips.
Paul Perillo.
Got any fried chicken?
Best damn chicken in the state.
Bring me 4 fried chickens and a Coke.
You want chicken wings or chicken legs?
4 fried chickens and a Coke.
And some dry white toast, please.
And Andy. And Andy?
That wasn't my fault, honest. I ran out of gas. I had a flat tire. I didn't have enough money for cab fare. My tux didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car.
Andy Hart.
There was an earthquake. A terrible flood. Locust. You wasn't my fault. I swear to God.
Some guy named Tom.
Are you the police?
No, ma'am. We're musicians. We're on a mission from God.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Well, now, what can I get you boys? You thirsty, you hungry, or you just driving through? Maybe like a beer or something a little harder?
No, thank you, ma'am. We may be sucking back a few beers a little later on. We'll be here all night. You see, we're the band.
PFW in Progress.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. The Blues Brothers are here. Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, Tom Casale. You should have got food, Andy. Andy's smelling our lunch, and he's hungry. You always do this. You have no willpower.
I had the willpower to turn down the offer.
Yeah.
But now, when it's actually in front of me.
Anyway, Paul's not only gone to McDonald's, he's imported Heinz ketchup.
Here, do you need some for your fries?
No.
Isn't Heinz made in America?
And you got your Diet Pepsi twist with the lemon. He's all set. He's all set here.
That's because I have a refrigerator in my...
That's excellent use of Patriot sponsors right there.
Is Heinz
a sponsor?
No, but Pepsi is.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, this is it, boys. D-Day's coming. 3 days away. The day that Tom Casale was born for. The draft. And I guess today we're going to do a mock draft. We're going to go through the first round. Is that what we're going to do?
We are?
Yes.
Huh? Sure.
I was told there'd be no math.
I don't even know who's available. But anyway.
We know that.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. Give out that email address.
You should do your own mock draft.
Webradio at Patriots.com. Well, I know
it would say Chad Greenway, wide receiver, Miami. and I'd be like, whoa, that's interesting.
Well, I know about the mixed up names. It'd be like, you know, Cameron Sims.
Right. I know who the Patriots are taking Ty Hill.
From?
I think there's a chance of that, but I think they'll have to trade up to get him. The Rams could take him as early as 11.
Well, Fred's chewing. You might want to keep talking.
He's one of the Brickishaw Hawk, Fred.
How about the reports about the Patriots interested in trading up to 13?
Yeah, that could be for Ty Hill.
I don't know who they're
for a wide receiver.
I think I don't know.
Generally, when they make trades, they don't say who they're going to trade up for.
No, but I don't know what slot, if they'll pick him in the 21st slot. I think this is a pretty interesting draft in that even now, and maybe it's just smoke, that people are saying that Reggie Bush may not be picked first.
Smoke.
That's stupid.
But, well...
Although that whole controversy gets more interesting by the day.
What if the Texans have put out offers for Mario Williams and Reggie Bush, and Bush's demands are just so outrageous that they're like, you know what, we're not going to sign this guy and have him hold out in training
camp. I don't run my team that way. I
think
the
upside of Bush is phenomenal.
I pick the players that I think are the best and worry about that stuff later.
Okay.
I don't
Any
like
differs from you, Fred.
I don't like people who have to sign before the draft and all that garbage.
But in all seriousness,
who's the
when
best
you're talking
player?
About guys like that. I mean, it's not going to be like you're going to get Mario Williams for pennies on the dollar, and it's
right.
going to cost you so much more to get Reggie Bush. Shouldn't the only factor you're really concerned with here is ability.
Absolutely.
Who's going to help your team more?
Yeah. That's,
so then you take Reggie Bush.
No, I agree.
And Fred, I got to.
I'm just saying what people are.
Fred, I don't think Ty Hill is going to be on the board at 21. So if the Patriots are trading up, I think you're right. I think it's for him, because I think they think he could be the one shutdown corner in this draft.
Better than Michael Huff?
Huff is a safety.
Oh.
Safety slash corner, but I think he'll play safety.
So, yes.
Right. Yes, he's a better true corner.
You never know.
About what?
Defensive backs. They project different ways when they come into the league.
I laughed because we make fun of you, and like the first thing you questioned on the show was, better than Huff?
Well,
yeah, he's a safety friend.
In the limited things that I've read so
far. I like your call on Hill. I just don't think it'll be at 21.
Okay.
I think that if they move up, I agree with you. I think that's who they're moving up to get.
Okay.
There's a lot of other trades out there. The Jets, as Tom was saying, coming down, are involved in like
every
trade rumor on the board right now. They're getting an extra pick.
They're trading
more.
Why do you think that is? Is it because of Mangini?
Because they have multiple picks, so it's easier for them to do more.
Do a lot of things.
Yeah.
I think that if you want to be the best, you have to be the best.
And I think part of that, Fred, is Mangini. I think that he obviously
I'm excited to be a head coach.
And watched the way they did it, and he kept his options. He's going to keep his options open. He's not going to ignore trades. You know, he's going to try to use that to the best of his advantage. He has the multiple picks.
Or other teams think he's a sucker and they're just trying to take him.
Well, that could be, too. He's a young, inexperienced guy. They might think they can take advantage of him.
Maybe
he's
people
smart.
Don't respect Tenenbaum and Mangini and think they
he's
can
really
take him to
smart.
The cleaners. And
well, if Oakland was one of the teams talking to him, I think it's the other way around.
Dumb and dumber.
The thing, though, I heard about the Jets, though, is they're not going to be taking a quarterback that high. They're going to look in the second round for one of those second-tier quarterbacks. So it's obviously DeBricka Shaw Ferguson, Mario Williams, that type of player they're looking for.
Or what if they trade, what was that trade to 4 and they'd end up with 13? They trade 29 and 35 for 13, you said?
Yeah.
Maybe they take a quarterback at 13.
Maybe, but maybe they like Cutler the most and they don't want to take, I mean.
Right.
I just, at 4, I heard that the Jets won't take a quarterback that high.
Yeah, I don't think they should.
Well, it is interesting because there's nothing really in stone except for Reggie Bush at number one.
And you don't even think that's set in stone.
I'm just repeating what I've read. I happen to think that the Texans are going to take him no matter what.
Have you seen the new stuff with the whole house thing?
Yeah.
And guys in court documents on record?
Go over that while I eat my French fries.
Okay, because I don't have any French fries to eat, so I guess I have plenty of time to talk now. No, I guess there was some sort of trial a couple of years ago that involved the company New Era Entertainment, whatever, and these guys are on record in the lawyer speaking for them that they had in some sort of agreement with Bush. They were considering legal action against Bush for breaking and signing with somebody else, and so there's definitely a connection there between said agent. Well, not even the agent, because the agent is now sort of tied to this New Era, which is run by that, how do you say the tribe? Sikkim?
Yeah, some Indian tribe.
Or something. And the Michael Michaels, that's the other thing that makes me laugh every time I read it. It's Michael Michaels and Lloyd Lake.
Well, how about, that's not, I mean, obviously.
Right, he has an alias.
He has aliases.
Right.
I mean, how shady is that?
He
do you have an alias, Fred?
I do, but.
Do you know anybody who has an alias?
No.
I just think it's.
I bet
that's
Fred does
shady
have
and
an alias.
I was going to say, if there is
well,
someone
he was
who
in
does,
Costa
Fred.
Rica,
he
was living
he
in
went
Virgin
by
Island.
Guillermo Mota.
Big Wood, D.C.
But yeah, that whole thing. I mean, it's clearer and clearer that there were rules broken, and a lot of people knew about rules getting broken, and that it's a dirty situation. Now, as I've said, I don't really care because it doesn't affect his NFL career.
I don't think it affects him one bit. That's
right.
USC's problem.
The only thing it affects is that, you know, he was kind of billed as this perfect guy because he was so clean cut. He's the perfect athlete on the field, and well, he's like anybody else. He took advantage of the situation he was in.
I think about 5% of athletes are what you just described. I think 95% are just normal people like us who all do shady things. And
I was going to say, 95% of the population would take advantage of the situation
exactly.
If they could. Like, I'm taking advantage of Fred's free fries he just passed over.
Well, he's got his family living in, or had them living in this $800,000 house, rent-free supposedly. So, but you know, the question is, it's still amazing when you talk about these college athletes, and it's not just football, the lack of advice that they get, you know, at that level is just astounding.
Well, how do you know the advice wasn't take the house if you can get it?
Well, that's what I mean, or the bad advice that they get.
Right.
You know, it's just amazing. No, I don't. There's no Big Mac left. No,
I just how do you know the house wasn't part of the you come to USC deal?
I know.
I don't know. I don't know.
As this goes down the line, maybe we find out that this guy and this tribe are tied into USC more than we think they are.
Who knows?
A lot of boosters.
Co-signer was Pete Carroll.
Well, okay, so that's Reggie Bush. As far as the Patriots go, no real personnel news since last week. It's been kind of quiet. I think
all's quiet.
A few signings around the league that caused some splashes.
Tom's boy.
LeVar Arrington is now a Giant.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, you know.
Yeah,
what happened?
Well, Tom Coughlin's a tough coach. I guess he can play for him.
Well, you stated that he would be a Patriot.
I thought he'd be a great fit here, yes.
For no money, too. Very little
yeah,
money.
Yeah, that's what I don't know. I guess they know more than I do. So, but you put LeVar Arrington and Bill Belichick together, and I think you have a match made in heaven. That's why I made the assumption.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping it would happen.
You know, reported as the 7-year, $49 million, but, you know, everybody's smart enough to know that it's not even near that.
It's like a one-year they can cut him deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's very little risk. You know, the cap hits are very manageable early in the contract, and if he plays great and lives up to the contract, then that's great for you. Mm. You know, and you know he'd have to do some outrageous things to get anywhere close to $49 million.
I think some of these teams are stealing players from other teams with creative contracts. I mean, Arrington wanted all this money, and, you know, T.O. wanted all this money, but they made contracts to back themselves up, and if these guys perform up to their abilities, then they'll get the money, but they also protect themselves as well. So I think that's wise for what some of these teams are doing.
Well, I happen to think that, you know, a lot of these negotiations between these guys, the high-profile guys like Terrell Owens and LeVar Arrington, they have talked to more teams than we think they have. It's just that the teams have been very specific. We don't want to start bidding against ourselves, so don't start using us to get a higher price somewhere else. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of teams made an offer for LeVar Arrington, but like the Giants did, we're very careful in the offer, and probably this was the best offer he got right now. He could have held out for more, but he held out long enough. And probably felt, but I'll bet you there were other offers on the table.
Oh, I'm sure there were.
I'll bet you the Giants was the best one.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And a team like the Giants that everybody projected to go linebacker, if you wait a week and they take Chad Greenway or whoever, Bobby Carpenter, maybe they're not as interested in LeVar Arrington a week later and there's not as much money on the table.
And that could, yeah. So I think Arrington was smart to sign now and get what he can. But there's still some guys out there, Charles Woodson. Ty Law.
I heard Woodson's pretty close to signing with Green Bay.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they seem to be Favre's coming back.
Yeah, they seem to be the only team that wants to shell out a lot of money for him. So my guess is it will be that he ends up there.
All the Poston boys are signing in order now.
Okay. It'll be interesting to see the details of that deal. What else? What other personnel?
Brett Favre is back.
Brett Favre is declared. Is that official now he's coming back?
Ricky Williams also.
Oh, Ricky yeah. Williams suspended for a year for his fourth violation, drug violation. And
I heard Mortensen say on ESPN that Nick Saban would give him another chance. How many chances do you want to give this guy? I'm all for giving somebody a second chance, but aren't we on like number five?
Forgive me, but
now?
That's book.
I mean,
it
come
is
on.
Book.
Jeez. Enough's enough. Get rid of him.
But if you listen to Williams,
I look very foolish. That's definitely accurate.
His statement after the fact, it's almost like he's relieved to not have to play this year.
You know,
sometimes I have sweets.
Same exact impression last night when I read that story.
Yeah.
Sugar?
I just don't think he cares.
He's like, isn't he on the hook?
I love the NFL. I'm great.
I'm grateful for my career with Miami, and I'm looking forward to
sometimes
being part of the
office in 2007.
Right. So that
like, you know, I get to
I'm
kick back.
I'm not retiring, so don't take my money away from me. You know. So,
it's all about the money with him, though.
Sometimes I'll have a glass of wine.
I don't know if it's all about the money. It's all about not having the money taken from him.
When he found out he was going to owe him $9 million, he said, oh, I'm coming back.
Right. But if they said, you can walk away now and we won't take a dime from you and you never have to play football again, he'd do it.
Right.
You know, knowing he'd never make another dime, he'd do it. Because I don't think it is all about the money with him. He doesn't want to lose
it. Well, I don't mean about making the money.
Yeah,
I mean about the $9 million he was going to have
to
pay.
That's the only reason he came back.
Right.
There's no doubt about it.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. But he,
as I said last year, Fred, when we were having these conversations, I wouldn't have taken him back in my locker room if I was part of the team. This is why. Because he obviously does not care, just what Andy just said. He only cares about himself and his money. He didn't think enough about his teammates.
I look very foolish.
You know,
that's definitely
there's
accurate.
Been some gray area here as to what exactly the substance abuse issue was this time. I just find it hard to believe that if he really had a legitimate case, that the NFL would have come down.
It was something.
No.
So.
It was something.
And his statement wouldn't have been what it was.
Right.
He was obviously resigned to the fact that he's not playing this year and almost happy about it. Relieved.
Yeah, the Dolphins need to cut ties with him. If they want to move in the next direction and be the team that competes with the Patriots for the AFC East, they need to cut ties with him and move on.
All right, we got emails coming in. I just want to remind everyone this weekend, Saturday, we have a special edition of PFW in Progress, 3 to 6 on Saturday here on Patriots.com Radio, and then on Sunday from 12 to 3. So there'll be plenty of 6 hours. To talk about what the Patriots are doing.
And we'll be blogging all day.
Tom's going to be blogging.
Andy and Paul will be doing it too.
Thinks of something.
Sounds good.
Whenever these guys,
to me.
Whenever these guys think of something, you know, when we're not on the radio, they'll be putting that stuff up on the website. We'll have photos. We'll have live press conferences. We'll have phone interviews with all the picks. A lot of stuff going on. Of course, the bulletin board and chat room, I'm sure, will be a lively place. So, If you're following the draft, you know, you put it on TV, whether it's ESPN or NFL Network, and you get Patriots.com on and go to town.
I mean, if you care about the Patriots, I would suggest putting it on the NFL Network.
What?
Because ESPN only cares about the first four picks in the draft, and that's all they talk about for 6 hours. So it's true. When Manning came out, that's all they talked about all day was Eli Manning. They don't realize that Steeler fans care as much about the draft as Texans fans do, and they don't give teams after the first 5 or 6 picks as much coverage, and I don't understand that because all fans care.
It's the low-hanging fruit. That's easy for them to talk about, Tom. They don't have to get into detail. You know, Chris Berman doesn't know a lot about these guys. I mean, Mel Kiper does.
Yeah.
But, they don't want Mel Kiper talking the whole time.
Right.
So they talk about the low-hanging fruit. It'll be interesting.
Brady's feeling like Big Pappy.
We'll have two TVs set up, and we'll see how NFL Network.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see how that.
You know, what do you think of Mike Mayock? Because he's their resident guru.
I mean, I think the way it's going to go is that Joe Fan will like ESPN's coverage better, but if you're a hardcore football fan, I bet you'll like the NFL Network's coverage better because I think they'll devote more time to each team that's on the clock. When the Patriots are on the clock, I don't want to see an interview with Charlie Casserly about drafting Reggie Bush. I want them talking about the Patriots' needs, who they might go after, what Kiper thinks. That's what I want, and that's not what they provide once you start getting into the draft.
Right. What was I going to say?
I'm not exactly sure how the NFL Network is going to handle it, but I'm going to guess, in my opinion, and I'm not exactly the hardcore football guy maybe that Tom is talking about, but I'm certainly not Joe Fan either. I'm somewhere in between. I just don't find it all that intriguing other than the picks themselves. I like to see the picks. I always watch the draft. Before I worked here, I always watched the draft, but just to see who was taken, not to watch the 14 minutes in between to see, as Tom said, the interviews, and I just don't know what else you fill with.
Sometimes,
and I think if you're banging me over the head with 32 different teams' needs all the time, maybe I think Tom's right. The hardcore football guy will probably like that, but I'm not so sure
obviously,
how entertaining that is either.
Obviously, ESPN loves it when there's some type of controversy.
Yeah, but how entertaining is listening to player and coaches
interviews? No, it's not.
That's my point.
I'm saying the draft is not entertaining.
What about when Bill Polian gets into a fight with Mel Kiper?
That happened once in 15 years.
Or when Bill Parcells banned Sal Palantonio from the premises because he didn't like what Sal Palantonio had to say.
My point is,
well done, Bill.
Listen, and Patriots fans can back me up on this. When they were on the clock last year at 32, ESPN wasn't even talking about the Patriots. They were talking about something else. I was like, oh, my God, there's Logan Mankins. And
he's a football player.
Like, I think the fans who are sitting there with the beer and their friends and the nachos, they're waiting for their team to pick. So I feel that they have an obligation to at least discuss the team when they're on the clock. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wait, how is the NFL Network doing it? Are they at the draft or?
I don't know.
I don't know how they're doing it.
I do know because they sent out a press release.
I don't know. Well, wait, I do know.
They've got Eisen and Mayock, I think, are at the draft. Then they've got two guys at the studios in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, where NFL Films is. I think Corey Chavis is going to be there.
Oh,
somebody else. Wait a minute. Corey Chavis knows his stuff.
He's really good. He's just he's,
except
he's
for the fact McNeil. That he thinks Reggie McNeil's best player in the draft.
Okay, whatever. But he knows his guys. His I was impressed.
I used to like him.
He's very good.
Well, you disagree with one guy, and now you don't
like him. That's all it takes, Randy. How many years have you been working with him?
I mean, he's telling me that a guy that I think is not even good is the best player in the draft.
Well,
he
honestly believes it.
Vince Young is better than Matt Leinart.
He honestly believes it, so
that's why I question
him. So anyway, they're going to have a couple guys there, and then they're going to have a couple guys in the studio in L.A.
Who are they?
Player.
Like, are there any Patriots
Butch Davis.
Involved? Do we know that?
Yeah, yeah. Butch Davis, I think, will be in L.A.
Have any Patriots been, like any of these releases mentioned? Mike Vrabel was there, Rodney Harrison.
Haven't heard of that.
Willie McGinnis is big on the NFL Network, so I don't know if he might be involved.
I haven't heard.
Oh, yeah, he's not a Patriot anymore either.
So that's how the network will do it. NFL
I forgot
network.
About that.
It'll be interesting to see how they approach it.
I think it's – I don't know why they have to split them up like that. What's the sense of going – just have them in one place?
Because you got to change.
Change what?
I don't know. They're not all going to be in the same shot, so it's going to be a camera change anyway.
But my guess is that there are a lot of fans who are disgruntled with ESPN's coverage or the NFL Network.
I agree. I just don't think the draft is a very entertaining enterprise to watch, regardless of how it's presented. That's
but
all
it's
I'm
entertaining
saying. I don't
when
think
your
it's
team's
gonna,
on the clock.
I
know what I mean?
It's entertaining when your team makes a pick.
Right.
Like, I don't think that a lot of people, some do. Surely I think that you would be one that would fall into the category. You want to watch the whole thing. But I don't think majority of people, they're just interested in watching the guys get selected and then saying, you know, you debate that with your friends for the next 15 minutes. Wow, was that a good pick for that team? I don't think they necessarily care, you know, like you said, Tom, about the features. And, you know, is there anything more useless than a, you know, an on-the-spot interview with a guy?
They're awful.
He's never. No one ever tells you.
Depends on the situation.
But no one tells you the situation. That's my point.
Right.
Charlie Cassidy's not going to go on and say, well, we made offers to both Mario Williams and Reggie Bush. And, you know, quite frankly, Mario Williams was agreeable to sign for less, and that's why we took him. But if he takes that, then they're not even going to wait to fire him.
Here's my, I mean, and I think ESPN thinks this way, too. It's most interesting, let's face it, when something out of the ordinary happens. When Warren Sapp starts slipping and... You know, you start
Well, that's interesting.
You know, things like
Yeah, but
that.
I don't mind that. I don't mind when, like, Roethlisberger slip in and they're showing them. That's not what bothers me. My point is when they're interviewing Charlie Casserly when someone else is on the clock. Here's a good example. Here's a good example. Let me give you a good example.
Go ahead.
The Dallas Cowboys were on the clock, right?
Here's a surprise.
The whole world thought that they were going to draft Steven Jackson. They were interviewing somebody else, and while they were interviewing that person, the Buffalo Bills helmet came up. And all of a sudden, everyone was like, what's going on?
Right.
You know, and then they must have traded with the Bills. And it took like 3 minutes for them to get back and say, well, there's a trade. That's what I'm talking about.
They should immediately stop. Whenever there's a trade, whenever something happens, they should immediately stop what they're doing.
Yeah.
In the first round, anyway.
Yeah.
Now, in the fifth round, that's different. But
well, that's my question to Tom. At what point, because the draft is 7 rounds, at what point do you start showing your features to try to keep people entertained?
They do it all day on day two. All day. That's all they do is have video conference calls with Nick Saban and, well, not Bill Belichick, but...
Well, you have a whole day to catch up on and talk about, right?
Right. The first round,
Do you mind that? On day two?
On day two, then you're just... There's so many people that people don't know who they are. But I think in the first round is the time when you can focus on a team
right. And
say what their needs are, who they might be going for, who would be a good fit.
Well, I think that... There's no excuse for them not to focus on every pick in the first round.
That's right. My point. That's the point.
I agree with Tom on that point. I do. I just don't think it's going to be all that different with the NFL Network. I just think it's a boring enterprise to try to telecast, you know, 8, 9, whatever many hours when not a lot happens. Let's face it. Andy brought up the Bill Polian thing. You brought up the Sal Palantonio thing. Give me 5 more examples of something. You know, maybe Drew Rosenhaus on 2 cell phones. The Willis McGahee thing.
The call.
I mean, seriously, there's not that many things that you can remember specifically about a draft. And I agree with Tom wholeheartedly. In the first round, I don't want to be seeing reaction from Charlie Casserly.
Like 2 hours later. Yeah.
During the eighth pick, I don't want to see Charlie Casserly talking about why they took Reggie Bush. That's of no interest to anybody.
Here's what they should do.
Except the Houston fans.
There's like 290 guys eligible
Here
for the draft.
Here comes the gala event.
How many
guys
are eligible this year?
Roughly, okay. Yeah.
First of all, whatever position you're drafted in, 1 through 300 and so on, there's a specific amount of money you get, period. Put everybody in one room. As they get picked, you hand them the cash, all right? Then you see fights break out in the room and guys trying to show off when it's
there. This is the guy who's in charge.
Is this the Red Kirsch draft expert?
Get a little drama going, you know, so you see them start to sweat.
Might as well just give them guns, too. This guy must have went nuts when he heard Vince McMahon started his own football.
So in other words, like, Jabrickashaw Ferguson ends up with the most money because no one could take him?
Right. No, but, you know, the picking obviously goes on over in New York, but, you know, you watch them, and every time they don't get picked, they know they're going to make less and less and less money.
Kind of like that Unanimous show where the pot...
It's like Deal or No Deal.
The pot shrinks all
right,
the time.
Right,
the Unanimous show is bad, Fred. Very bad.
I haven't seen it.
It's awful.
It's not good. No.
It may be the worst show ever put on television.
Every time I see the commercial, that fat guy's crying.
It's true.
I don't know. Speaking of reality shows, you see Idol last night?
I was just thinking out loud. You don't have to be so hostile.
And Catherine McPhee looked good, huh?
Yeah, I thought they were a little hard on her.
I thought she sounded good. Did you think they were a little harsh on her?
Yeah, they were harsh. It was a weird
Everyone
night.
I talked to thought they were hard on her.
I thought Kelly was clearly the worst.
Yeah, she's got
to
go.
She needs to go. And I like her, but she needs to go.
I don't like her when she needs to go.
And then beyond that...
She's got to go? Idol talk.
Beyond that, I would say that Paris, Kelly, and Taylor were the bottom three last night. The other three were the top three.
Paris can sing, though. She's a bad song, but she can sing.
It's not a bad
not
song.
Not a bad song, maybe for
she
her.
She just didn't sing it well.
Yeah. She can blow, dog. You know?
What? All right, check it out. Check it out, dog. You know, it was a little pitchy at times.
It's just
dog.
All right for me.
It's just all right for me. It wasn't really working for me.
You know that Las Vegas place that Italian singer sang at?
Mm-hmm.
Gary used to go there and play golf.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Andrea Bocelli?
Yeah.
What the hell are we talking about?
Did not know he was blind until about 2.5 weeks ago.
I didn't know until last night.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I liked the other guy, the songwriter, last night. He actually gave him some criticism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked that.
Yeah.
He didn't just say how wonderful everybody was like all the other ones were.
Well, you know, I like it when he asked Botticelli, you know, what color was her hair, and he said blonde. Should have said the same question when Taylor was on. Let's see if he got that one right.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that was a shot at her, Fred.
What, blonde?
Oh, it could have been. I didn't take it like that.
That was a shot.
Ooh.
What color do you think her hair is? And then he laughed and said blonde.
I didn't take it like that, but you might be right.
I didn't either, but you might be right.
I don't think that guy liked her at all.
Because my wife thought that that producer guy was hard on all of them and was kind of, you know, not treating them very nicely.
And I don't think he liked Kelly at all.
I agree with the first part of that, but not necessarily the second part. I thought that he was offering constructive criticism.
All right. We better get off this before we start getting emails.
Well, Andy will get mad because he doesn't watch it. If we were talking about 24, it would be fine.
Right.
No, we'll be inappropriate on the show before the draft.
Right. I agree.
This is the guy who's talking about boobs.
When we're
on
in
a
June,
basis.
We can talk about 24, Idol, or whatever you want.
Shut up.
It's the day before the draft. Arguably the biggest draft in Patriots history.
Why is that?
Why is
a weak
that?
Roster with no talent needs to be restocked, or they'll be unable to field a team come September.
All right, Ron Borg, just settle down.
Jeez. Unbelievable.
Oh, Paul's Ron Borg.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get to some emails.
I'm Mike Reese.
Justin in Alaska. So
I think that works.
Gentleman and Frank. Is Frank Taddock still here?
No.
He's
been away a while.
I don't know who Frank is. Anyway, he says, I think you were talking about how Ted Johnson was great on taking blocks and shedding them. Didn't he hit...
I think we're all pretty much in agreement on...
There's Frank.
Didn't he hit someone so hard from Miami that their helmet actually split in two? That's true.
And his helmet
split
in two.
Yeah. Here in at Gillette, actually. Ted is actually the only Patriot I've ever met. He was hurt with a torn bicep, but I got to meet him. When I shook his hand,
Which
it was
time?
Like I was a Honduran harvesting bananas. His fingers were huge. Are you sure they were his fingers? I'm sure Mrs. Johnson, never mind.
Mrs. Johnson.
I think that our draft...
Excellent stuff. Is it Justin?
Yeah.
The excellent stuff, Justin.
I think that our draft from 2003 was probably our most successful in the last 10 drafts. They got Ty Warren, who's a starter, Eugene Wilson, Asante Samuel, and Dan Copen. Debatable is Bethel Johnson, Dan Klecko, and Tully Bannacane.
Not much debate on two of those. No. Bannacane, I'll give a little bit of open the door on, but I think Klecko and Bethel, I think the horses left the barn on those two.
But even to have seven guys play, you know, when you take total time of those seven guys having played, that's pretty
play
good.
Well. Yeah. Well,
no,
I'm glad you brought that up, Fred, because I have a magazine in front of me.
Okay.
ESPN's draft preview that Gary Grudecki, you know, he's always very capable in providing us with stuff to get us through a show and gets us good guests and, you know, has some literature here. This preview for the draft.
I love when he gets into his serious
every
talk.
Team.
Sounds like Alistair Cook. Never mind.
List every team's number of current starters drafted by the team. And do you know what team has the most current starters drafted by that team?
The most current starters drafted by that
the
team.
The hint is the Patriots are second.
Patriots are second with 14, second. Although I would give them credit for another because they don't list Nick Kazier. I would assume he'll be starting next year.
Do they list all of them?
Yeah.
Can you list who they do have as starters?
For the Patriots.
Yeah.
And in this, you get credit for a kick returner as well.
Yeah.
So I guess I would subtract one.
Oh, and I was also wondering, do they count Watson and Graham? Because I would. I was putting a list together. I would count both of those guys.
I don't think they. Deion Branch, Matt Light, Logan Mankins, Dan Copen, Daniel Graham, Tom Brady, Patrick Pass, Ty Warren,
I wouldn't count
Vince
Patrick
Wilford,
Pass.
Richard Seymour, Ellis Hobbs, Asante Samuel, Eugene Wilson, and Bethel Johnson.
Yeah, I wouldn't count Patrick Pass, but I would count both Graham and Watson.
It would still be a 14 because I would take Pass and Bethel Johnson out
right.
And put Kazier and
Watson
in.
So you're still at 14, I guess.
Although I don't know necessarily that
so
all of those defensive
one?
Backs.
Why is the Patriots a hint at number two?
It's not a hint. It's just I'm just saying that.
Your theory is, basing on your theory, that if players play that you draft, you had a successful draft.
Okay. Don't you think that's true?
No.
Number one is the argument against your theory, Fred.
Well, if your team stinks,
right.
Okay.
For example, and you have 15 starters.
Guys you drafted were good enough to beat out the guys you had on the team.
But that's not necessarily true, no.
All right, Fred. Number one is the Jets. Is
they're
one of the poorly they've drafted as poorly as anybody over the last 5 years. They have 15 starters because the team stinks.
And somebody's
going to
start.
Yeah, they got a bunch of schmoes starting.
It's not about
if I was a Jets fan, I could argue that one of the reasons they had such a bad record is that the quarterback got hurt, who was also a draft pick.
They have a bad roster.
Just think back to the Bobby Greer drafts of 97,
terrible.
8, and 9. We used to hear a lot of propaganda coming out of Foxborough talking about how all the draft picks
Chris
made the team. Remember what a
kid.
Big deal it was in 99 when Marcus Washington, a sixth-round pick in 99, was the first draft pick of the Pete Carroll era not to make the team. And it was like how great that was. They had one guy that they drafted. Well, they failed to mention that in the two previous drafts they had about one quality player between them. They had a bunch of guys who stayed on the team like Damon Denton and Scott Rayburg. And Ed Ellis, but none of them could play. So they were there, they played, but they stunk.
Right.
So I don't think necessarily that
but
a lot of starters are on the team.
But Rehberg and Damon Denson, they weren't starting.
But they played. They were on the team.
I'm talking about that, extensive contributions to,
Fred, I think you're arguing two different things. Your thing about that one Patriots draft, I think, is correct.
The 2003 draft was an excellent draft, yes. That I agree with,
but
not because
they doesn't mean that
right.
It's
not
a
because
good draft.
They drafted Dan Klecko and Bethel Johnson and Tully Bantakane. It was because they got the other guys that the Dan Copens and Eugene Wilsons that starred right. for them and Asante Samuel.
You look at the body of work. Let's see.
He always has to get the last little
because
phrase.
He can
in.
Never admit that he might be wrong.
Jeez. Oh, by the way, the Jets number is a little misleading as well.
I'm
they
sure
get credit
they
for their kicker, punt returner, and kick returner.
Well, I mean.
Although, doesn't Miller start at corner?
Yeah, he starts at corner now.
If Justin Miller is down as a starting special teams guy, then
we'd have to
start.
Do a lot of math to rework all these numbers because we're subtracting Miller as the kick returner, but putting him in as the. And some guys I never even heard of.
Now, Nugent should count because that was a draft pick. I mean, if you.
But
it
gets
draft
the whole
pick.
Thing. Is he a starter? Generally. Kickers aren't considered starters.
But then that eliminates a draft pick as having the possibility to be a starter if you don't count them. Do you know what I'm saying?
Shouldn't drafted a kicker then.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
I think
that I agree with.
Without getting into specifics, you can look at any team's draft, of any given year and say that was a good draft.
I bet you
he's
can't.
Gonna have to get. Down
I got it.
Well, he has to.
Where's that book
X
with the star on it?
You know,
based on Fred's
get
theory,
the Dallas guy down
right
top.
There.
If the Patriots draft a kicker, a punter, a punt returner, and a kick returner, the first four picks, they're gonna
it
play.
Was a good draft.
Great draft.
If they all became the guy at that position, and that's who they needed, and
he's playing along with what I thought was just an idiotic thing I was throwing out there.
But obviously, that would never happen for any team.
But I'm just saying, just because the guys play doesn't necessarily mean they play well. That's my point.
Dan Klecko has played.
Dan Coker has played well.
See, he's not one of the. If Dan Klecko was like, you know, the only guy in that draft, it would have been a bad draft.
Right.
You know, no matter.
But I don't add
I don't
him
think
to,
adds
to augment a good draft. They had Wilson, Samuel, and Copen.
Right.
That's what made it a great draft.
Right. Great
and
draft.
Klecko doesn't augment that and make it an even better draft than it was. He was a bad pick.
But even
he
in
can't
the,
play.
But all I'm saying is even in a draft like that, even your bottom guys in that draft have done things for your team.
Or most drafts, the bottom guys sometimes
they
don't even
make,
the team.
The team or they do nothing. You know? It was a good draft.
It was a very good draft.
Scott from Washington says, which player or players do you think might fall out of the top 15 this year? I'm not necessarily talking about a player that the Patriots would pick at 21. I'm just generally wondering which players are currently consensus, whatever that means, top 15 guys who might slide. It seems to happen every year, and certainly the Patriots took advantage of that with Vince Wilfork. That wasn't
Wilfork.
Scott writing that. That's me talking. But who are this year's possible sliders? Thanks for all your insights and enjoy the draft. I won't be able to listen live today, but I'll catch a show on replay. Podcast, by the way.
Mm-hmm. How's the subscriptions doing?
We were up to like 65. I haven't checked the last couple of days.
I thought you told me 61.
I don't know.
I can't talk.
So you tell me you lie to me.
No, it's up in the 60s. I know that. But it was. I don't know what it was today.
Gary's does anybody have a consensus top 15? Because I should.
I don't think there's going to be.
I don't know who the consensus.
The
top
only
15
guy I would say would be Jay Cutler if for some reason he started to slip.
Right.
Other than that, I don't think there's a consensus top 15
right,
guy. Like Michael Huff isn't going to slip.
All right, here's a guy that kind of had a meteoric rise over the last few months. Vernon Davis. All right. If he wasn't picked in the top 15, would that be a slide?
Yeah,
that would be a huge slide.
Think so?
Yeah.
Yes, very much.
Because
so.
Before the season ended, the college he wasn't even looked at in the first round. Who knew who Vernon Davis
I
was?
I would disagree with that statement, but
he was always a first round pick.
You think so?
He became top 10, top 5 consideration guy when he showed off freakish numbers and size and everything.
Right, I got to be honest with you. Even Belichick pointed him out at the combine as being one of those players. So if he's saying it, my guess is he won't slide past 15.
Okay.
Yeah, the only two players I've heard Belichick willingly promote are
Were
Reggie Bush
and
Vernon Davis. Just to put it in perspective.
Because two guys he won't pick.
No, he said he would
pick
both,
I
believe.
No, but he won't
but,
have a chance at either one,
the
so
fact
he's willing
that,
to say that.
But the fact that he's willing to speak so highly of those two should tell you how good they are.
Right.
Okay. Right. Anyone? No one else that you can
I
think?
Would say Cutler.
I think what makes it hard, Fred, is...
What is your top 15?
Right. You know, I mean, I think
Chad
Jackson,
already,
Antonio
White's
Holmes,
already
are those
sliding.
Right. I think you could come up with about 7 or 8 guys, according to what Tom and Andy have been telling me. You could probably come up with about 8 guys that most people would have in their top 15. But, the other 7, you might have 4 or 5 guys. If you took 4 or 5 draft experts, you'd have... 25 different players mentioned among those other 7 spots.
Because the second tier running backs, the next 3, all seem like they're not there. The 2 best wide receivers, maybe they're right on the cusp of being in the top. So you don't have those are guys that who knows.
Tom and Andy, there was a time before the combine where you guys seemed to think that Lindale White would be the second running back taken in. Would you have said maybe in the top 15?
No, we would have said to Arizona before they signed
Edgerton
James.
Before they signed Edgerton James. Yeah.
I would have said number 10 for sure.
10.
Yeah.
Now,
but that changed because they signed Edgerton James.
Right.
They no longer need a running back.
So it was just based on Arizona's need? You don't think he's worthy of a top 15 pick, Lindale White?
Me and Andy differ a little bit on Lindale White. I'm down on him because I don't like guys, when it's their time to prepare for something, aren't ready. He had a chance to lift and do, I know his legs bothered him, and he wasn't prepared. Now, that bothers me. But on the football field, I think the guy can play. That's why when you talk about value and you talk about the Patriots who like value, at 21... if they think his attitude's okay, that could be a possibility, because they might think he's a top 7 or 8 player, and you pick him up at 21, that's right. Value.
I got to tell you, if you have your choice between any of those three running backs, you know, Williams, Maroney, and White at 21, I think you got to give it a long, hard look, because you're talking value, and that's the
those
word they love
three,
to throw.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine that they don't think that any of those three are top 21
right.
caliber players.
You think even
any of the three? I'm not sitting here trying to evaluate. I'm not trying to be
one
Gil,
they like the
right.
best.
I'm not trying to be Gil Brandt and saying, no, this is the guy.
It's hard for them to say he's not worthy
it's
of 21.
It's hard for me to imagine that any of those three don't factor into their top 21 players in this draft. Now, I know that it's kind of the in vogue thing to say, well, Bill Belichick will not take a running back in the first round, and Bill Belichick will not trade up for a skilled position player.
Right.
I think
like
about that.
Things.
I like those things.
I like
crossing
it up.
You
traded up for Daniel
no
Graham,
thing
and he took
a
guard.
End, right?
And he took a guard.
I don't
so,
think there's
there
any such thing as something that Bill Belichick will or won't do.
I agree
most
with
overrated
that.
Statements in sports, what Belichick and Parcells like and will do.
Right. Right.
What they like and will do
is to
anything
win.
To win. Exactly.
To win.
Anything to win.
All right. Let's see. Dwayne writes in, did any of you guys read Monday Morning Quarterback this week?
I did, as a matter of fact.
I did not.
That's the Peter King thing?
Yeah. I did not see it.
He says, Mike Martz had an interesting quote in this week's article. Check it out. Quote, I hear people say about Vince Young, I don't like his fundamentals. Oh, really? What exactly are fundamentals? I'd love to know. I've seen a lot of quarterbacks do things a lot of different ways. Here's what matters. Does he throw it straight? Does it get to the receivers on time? If he does, I could care less if the ball wobbles all over the place. I don't care if it's thrown underhand. If I'm not mistaken, Martz essentially is implying that sound mechanics and fundamentals in a throwing motion are irrelevant. As an offensive coach, shouldn't that be an area that is stressed? I thought that the reason why fundamentals are stressed is ball security. Now I know why his Rams quarterbacks had a continuing fumbling problem. In other words, Martz is even more of an idiot than I thought.
Well, I have to disagree with this.
Mike Martz.
Yeah,
I'd be interested to hear what you guys say on this.
I think we take a lot of shots at Mike Martz, but you got to remember something. He took a guy from the Arena Football League and made him an MVP, and he took a guy who was drafted in the 6th round or something and made him an all-pro quarterback.
Great,
so,
great offensive coordinator,
no,
terrible head coach.
Not even offensive coordinator. I'm talking quarterback.
Quarterback coach. I agree wholeheartedly with Tom. I don't think that he is saying there's no such thing as fundamentals or there's no importance to ball security. I think that's laughable. What he's saying is there are a lot of different ways to succeed at
right.
playing quarterback in the NFL. Vince Young might throw with a sidearm motion. Someone else might. I mean, John Elway threw a slingshot sidearm motion, by the way.
Sometimes.
And he happened to be, in my opinion, the best quarterback of all time. But
Brett Favre didn't have the best mechanics in the
there
world.
A lot of guys,
he throws it all over
there. There are a lot of guys that do it conventionally. There are a lot of guys that do it unconventionally. What Marge is trying to say here is, I've seen this guy play. I've seen him do all the things that you need to do. Why are we questioning his fundamentals? What he is doing is working. So why it's like, you know, when you get these young pitchers in baseball, when you draft them and they throw 98 miles an hour in high school, but then you get them in the minor leagues and say, no, you're doing it all wrong, and all of a sudden the guy can't get over 92
right.
with his new mechanics. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
You see it in all sports. It's not just baseball. I mean, tennis, they'll get with a new coach and they'll change something and they take a step back. Golf, any of the things where there's a certain quote-unquote prototypical way to do things, and then the other way. And half the time, the people that do it their own way are just better because they've mastered their own way. And if you can believe Vince Young, he said at the Combine that all the coaches he talked to said, don't worry
right.
about your mechanics. It's good enough. You've been successful with it. It's not something that needs to be changed.
I watched some of his workout thing, you know, some of the highlights they showed. He looks really, really good in that. And I understand that he doesn't have any pads on. You know, it's got shorts and sweatshirts and you're throwing in a controlled environment and all, but I'll tell you, he looked really, really impressive.
Well,
I doubt Alex Smith would look
right.
that good
and,
in that same drill.
And when he did have pads on, Paul, he did finish number one in the country
absolutely.
In passing efficiency.
Absolutely.
So it's not like, you know, he was just running all the time and he was inaccurate with the football. He proved it on the field that he could throw the football. I think this is nitpicking. I think it's the NFL's old guard who can't stand any kind of change whatsoever. And I'm with Andy on this. I think if Vince Young goes to a team that lets him sit for a year, learn the system, get used to the game, I think he could be as good as anyone in this draft by far.
The more time goes by, the more I'm convinced of that, by the way. The longer that this goes on and the more I'm finding out about Vince Young and watching him, the more I'm convinced that he's going to be a special player.
Fred's not.
And I still think he'll be Michael one of the Vick. Top three players picked.
But I think the point about Martz, and I don't think a whole lot of Mike Martz as a head coach. I'll state that. Mike
well, this
Martz
is a guy who said about special teams, I really never stressed right. special teams.
But
maybe
that
they
has
should start.
Not, right. And that
there
has
are certain guys right. that just can do a certain thing, whether it's be a quarterback's coach,
right.
whether it's an offensive
he's
coordinator.
Not,
but fundamentals,
he be a head coach.
Fundamentals as a quarterback isn't preventing a guy from fumbling. Right. Unless the guy's running around right. out of the pocket with one hand on the ball, having it exposed, and he continues to do that, then that's a fundamental flaw. But when you get blindsided and you fumble the ball the way Kurt Warner does constantly, that's not a fundamental.
Well, you get a guy like Dante
failing.
Culpepper who fumbles a lot.
I mean,
why is that?
It's not necessarily a fundamental flaw here, though, is what I'm saying. I mean, does the guy have
Cunningham.
Proper footwork? Is he reading the defense properly?
Well, Cunningham used to hold
well,
it
you
out.
Know, you know what the other thing is, though, too? Say you take a quarterback like Manning or Brady, kind of stationary guys. If someone comes at them, they pretty much they take the sack. But
right.
guys, some guys can keep plays alive longer, and that
right.
gives you a better chance of losing the football instead of just taking this. So their athletic ability sometimes goes against them.
Okay. Right. And you know, was Brady not fundamentally sound at any time during his career? I mean, the one thing you could say about Brady is fundamentally he's as sharp as anybody.
Right.
Well, he fumbled a ton at different
except
times.
Except when he throws from his butt and throws while being sacked and things of that nature.
You got to bring out one example of maybe when he wasn't so fundamentally sound.
And
I think Tom Brady's fundamentals go without question.
At some point when you're good enough, fundamentals don't matter anymore. I complain all the time, and I'm a little hypocritical here, about Corey Dillon running with the ball in his right hand when he's going left. It really bothers me that it seems like that's an old school thing now that you don't put the ball in the outside hand. You just put it in whatever hand you're comfortable in. Whatever. Or running backs taking...
Emmett never changed.
I know.
Same arm.
Running backs who, when they take a handoff, you no longer make a pocket with your inside elbow up. You just hold
you just
it.
Take
you just
it.
Put your hands out and
the
take
O.J.
the ball.
The O.J. Simpson take
yeah.
the ball.
So at some point, fundamentals aren't always, you know, the key. There's a lot of Hall of Famers that didn't do things fundamentally.
Yep.
And I should say, if Martz is being honest there, that's a big boost to Young because Martz does know quarterbacks.
I agree, and I read that yesterday and got that impression, not the impression that the emailer had.
Well, the same emailer says, at first I thought Bobby Carpenter would be a player that would slip to the Pats at 21, but now I'm starting to hear more and more people talk about how impressed they are with him. Today on Cold Pizza,
his first reporter,
Brian Urlacher
PFW.
Said Carpenter's game would translate best to the NFL out of all of the linebackers of this year's crop.
I believe Patriots.com has been reporting that for slightly over 3 months now.
What are the Pats chances of landing Carpenter? Is it a possibility
we
they
should
would
be beeping our horn on that?
Him?
This is my theory on Carpenter. They will not trade up to get him. If he is on the board at 21, he's a very strong possibility. I think, and this is just my opinion, the only player they'll trade up for is Ty Hill. Because I think if they believe he's a pure cover corner in the Ty Law mode, that's good enough to trade up for. Bobby Carpenter, they won't trade up for because other players similar to him, if that's the position they're looking for, will fall, or D'Angelo Williams or
right.
Lendale White. So I don't think they'll trade up to get him.
Finally, Dwayne says, who is the bigger idiot, Woody Page or Skip Bayless?
That's a tie.
Oh, yeah. that's tough. That's tough right there.
Woody Page. Based on the pants with all the NBA logos on.
Skip Bayless says
Skip
some
Bayless
things,
is
man.
An idiot.
I mean,
right?
He says some things that just make you.
Yeah.
And you know what? I almost think he does it on purpose. Just
maybe they do. Maybe it's a big, big joke for them. But they are both buffoons on that show.
Mike from Florida says, I asked you guys this before, but you blew me off. What do you think
we
about,
do that.
What do you think about the league making exceptions on the cap for long-term players of like 8+ years in that were your original draft pick?
I don't like it. And I don't think
yeah,
we blew
like
it off.
Either.
I think we talked about Larry Bird and the exemption in the NBA and how we don't like the rule.
The NBA salary cap that is almost you're unable to follow because there's so many exemptions and rules and, you know, it's a $40 million cap.
If you have
teams
a cap,
have payrolls of $150 million.
I think if you have a cap, then that's the cap. And whatever the number is, it's a hard cap.
You don't
and
take
you can't
a simple exception
it.
For a guy that
no.
you drafted? You're, no?
No.
No. The player, listen, Players Association will never go for that.
To have that exception.
Well, if you want what's better from the fans, then you would eliminate free agency. So that would force teams to stay with the same guys.
And,
but that's not,
and
that's
direct
not realistic.
TV wouldn't be $350. And
yeah, but that hurts the players as well. This would not necessarily hurt the player. They'd actually get more money and be able to stay with the team that they really want to stay with.
How do you know?
But it might eliminate a job for someone else.
I'm just saying it would allow the team to offer them more money.
But it might eliminate a job for someone else. Who might,
wherever
who might
that
benefit.
Guy goes, he's not going now, and then the job's there.
he might benefit from getting that job from the veteran. What do you think? Is just a veteran on one team? There's not going to be a veteran that stays a job.
It doesn't matter where he goes. It's still a job. It's a job.
Let's just say for a second,
the jobs would be eliminated.
I bet you that all the Patriots that left would still be gone, even if they had that rule.
Yeah, but one of the things, Paul, you know, a lot of the veterans in the NFL system complain is that they're the ones that get screwed in this system.
I think there's some truth to that. But
right, so this would help them.
It would help one person. But you're saying it's going to help the players. It would help the older players. It would hurt the younger ones.
Right. Well, I mean, you know,
What about the third year player, Fred,
you got to be good. You got to be better than that older guy.
Well, maybe he's about to be good. Well, you know how many teams Jimmy Smith was on?
That's why they have personnel guys.
You know where Kurt Warner was?
You know, if you think that third year guy has a better upside than the 8 year guy, you're going
to
keep the third year guy.
I just don't like the idea of circumventing the cap. You either have a cap or you don't. That's all. That's my reasoning
behind
it.
I agree with Paul.
There's no such thing as a hard cap because they find ways to circumvent it.
Well, you can cheat, yeah.
Well, without cheating, you know,
NFL cap is pretty hard.
It's as hard as it gets.
You can't be over. Speaking
of cheating, speaking of cheating, this is something I just learned. I suspected it when it was going on, but didn't know it was official.
I had nothing to do with Enron.
Can I be serious for a second?
Okay, all right.
Not here.
Oh, I got a feeling Saturday's
going to be a stressful day.
No, you would probably know about this. I didn't know that the 49ers actually were found guilty of cheating the cap and then you got a slap on the wrist.
So the Broncos.
The Broncos lost.
I mean, they lost just like a couple of mid-round draft picks.
It was more than that, though, because DiBartolo basically lost control of that team because of that.
Him personally.
He personally. So.
But yeah, the actual team thing is like a fourth round pick or something.
Right.
Money. There's fines involved.
Yeah.
But what happened with the Timberwolves now, they were penalized much harsher in the NBA, right?
Yeah.
They lost a first round pick, I believe.
Didn't they?
At least one.
Me too. Yeah. They were definitely penalized pretty.
And they lost the player that they ended up trying to do it. But they also got caught as they were doing it. You know, which is a little bit different than trying to, what do? You do the college thing? Do they vacate their wins, you know?
I miss that I figured the 49ers must have been doing, they signed every Pro Bowl player at every position in the world that one year, and I didn't know that they actually got caught for cheating.
Well, I think what they were doing was, you know, DiBartolo?
Eddie DiBartolo. Yeah.
So that's how I would say it, but I think he goes by DiBartolo.
Yeah.
But, I think what he was doing, he was deferring money to those guys. So, you know, on the books, he might have been, a $700,000 salary.
Right.
And he's giving them a couple of million on the side, keep it fair.
Right.
You know, one of those. You don't say nothing, I don't say nothing. I think that's
we know how Snyder's doing it.
Manny in Mechanicsville, Virginia, says... Let's see, what is he saying here? Limited number of tickets for the 06 season that go on sale May 13th. Are they standing room only, or are there seats available? Keep up the great work. You guys are awesome. Pats fan down here. Depend on you guys for the inside scoop.
We like to hear.
No, the ones that are going on the 13th, those aren't standing room. Those are, they reserve a few thousand for each game, but they go quick, so.
Good luck.
Yeah, I don't know. It's amazing. So many people say, I got on there 5 minutes after it was in. It was already sold out.
And don't ask Fred how long the waiting list is either, because he won't answer you.
It's a long list?
It's long.
Do you see that airlines are going to start selling standing room only seats?
Yeah.
And have some kind of straps that they strap you to or something?
Oh, yeah, like stand up?
Yeah.
I don't think I'll be going for that.
I did do something like that. This fuel thing, though, is going to really kill you for any flights you need to take during the summer.
We're getting screwed.
The rates are going to be
plane you put Tom and I on will still be cheap.
Let's see.
Pat's still going.
If it hasn't crashed recently.
We'll do this email, then we'll take a break, Gary. Pat's fan in San Fran. Says, I just had a couple of quick hits before the Pats reload for another Super Bowl run this weekend. One, how many starters do the Pats need to draft?
11.
2, 3, or 4?
3.
I would say probably maybe 2.
Immediate starters, like in year one?
Need to start this season.
Yeah.
3. A wide receiver, a linebacker, and a corner.
Okay, 3.
That's
I think that would be great, but I think
I would agree with Andy if he's talking
if he
about
going to the Super Bowl.
A third receiver and a nickel corner. If he's counting those like his starter type people, then I would say yes. But if you
third
think
receiver,
get
who's
it,
the second?
Well, I'm just saying.
I need a guy that beats out Richey Caldwell.
I'm not nearly as concerned with wide receiver.
I don't know if you'll get a guy like that even if you draft Santonio Holmes.
If something were to happen to Tom Brady, I'd be much more concerned with the wide receiver core because you'd need someone to help him out. I think Tom Brady can make some guys look a lot better than they are.
It's a theory they're going with.
Two, if D'Angelo Williams, Ty Hill, and Santonio Holmes are all available at 21, who do you pick?
I pick D'Angelo Williams. The Patriots will pick Ty Hill. That's what I think.
Really? Okay. What about you guys?
I like Ty Hill.
I like D'Angelo Williams.
But I like I said earlier, I find it hard to pass up on those backs. I really want the back of the future, Fred. I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I do think Hill is the best cover corner in this draft.
I would be between Hill and Williams, though.
Three, could the Pats trade down to the end of the first round or early second round and still get Bobby Carpenter or Richard Marshall? Would you do that for the extra picks and increased value?
I think they may be able to get Richard Marshall, but you're rolling the dice because I know the Bears like him. Carpenter, I would say no. I don't think so. I think there's too many teams that are interested in him now.
And if you really want somebody, I think it's dangerous to start trading down too far.
If you're trading down, that means there's nobody really at 21 that you like that much, and you'll trade down and take whoever you got.
Now, they have been able to do that in the past. I want to say in 2001, they traded down in the second round, you know, early in the second round. Then realized they probably weren't going to be able to get Matt Light, and they traded back up in front of the Jets, I believe, to get Matt Light.
That's also
and he was on the phone with the Jets at the time.
That's a dangerous game, too.
Very dangerous.
Because the Cowboys tried to trade back up to get Kevin Jones in the first round and couldn't do it, and the Lions got there first. So.
Yeah, and the Patriots wanted to take him at 32.
All right, let's take a break, Gary. We come back, we'll get to Josh, David, Bob, Sean, Phil, Al, everybody else.
The defending Eastern Conference champion New England Revolution are back, and the Revs want you to be a part of the action when they open their 2006 home schedule. Sunday, April 30th, come see 2005 MVP Taylor Twellman. Rookie of the Year Michael Parkhurst, Clint Dempsey. And the rest of the Revolution as they take on the Chicago Fire. And all fans at Gillette Stadium will take home a 2006 Revolution schedule magnet sponsored by Bank of America. Free. And get to the stadium early and enjoy the interactive theme park soccer celebration free at every home match. Plus, this season, parking is also free. New England Revolution soccer is an affordable day for the whole family. Tickets are just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222. And get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution. Revolution. 2000 brought Tom Brady.
Tom Brady launches a 60-yard bomb.
Next, it was future Pro Bowler Richard Seymour.
Patriots terrific first-round draft
pick. And don't forget about Super Bowl 39 MVP Deion Branch.
Touchdown, Deion Branch.
Who will be the next to make their mark for the New England Patriots? Find out on Saturday, April 29th. Huddle up at the home of the three-time world champions at the 2006 Patriots NFL Draft Party. Watch the draft on huge TV screens and get war room updates from the Patriots front office. The Patriots draft party features a lunch buffet, raffles, free parking, visits from the Patriots cheerleaders and alumni, and much more. The Patriots are looking for a few good men.
With the 21st pick, the New England Patriots select.
And you can be there. Tickets for this event are $65. For more information or to purchase tickets, log on to Patriots.com or call 508-698-8590. The 2006 Patriots draft party, presented by the Massachusetts Army National Guard. The defending Eastern Conference champion New England Revolution are back, and the Revs want you to be a part of the action when they open their 2006 home schedule. Sunday, April 30th, come see 2005 MVP Taylor Twellman.
Taylor Twellman!
Rookie of the Year Michael Parkhurst, Clint Dempsey. And the rest of the Revolution as they take on the Chicago Fire. And all fans at Gillette Stadium will take home a 2006 Revolution schedule magnet sponsored by Bank of America. Free. And get to the stadium early and enjoy the interactive theme park soccer celebration free at every home match. Plus, this season, parking is also free. New England Revolution soccer is an affordable day for the whole family. Tickets are just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222.
1-800-231-2222. And get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the revolution. Revolution.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
The best undiscovered female voices will sing on this stage tonight with one definite goal: to win your vote. You decide their destiny. You make the call. The competition is on. Let's go. This is
PFW in progress with Red Kirsch.
I like that Fred stuff.
I think it was a complete and utter mess. It didn't work. It was all over the place. You were forgetting your words. It just didn't work.
Lightly.
I really, really, really hated that. Sorry.
Paul Perillo.
Are you drunk?
No, not at all.
No. I thought it was ridiculous.
And Andy. And Andy?
Last week you indicated that you are on a different page.
Well, let's just redefine that as correct page.
Andy Hart.
No, being serious, I watched the show back, and I have to say, if I was giving myself marks out of 10, I'd give myself a 10.
Some guy named Tom.
The reality is, it is actually more than just singing. It is about personality. It's about the right choices. So you can't come up on a stage like tonight and be in your own world and hope that you're going to interest the American audience, because they're going to forget that performance three performances later. So not your best night by a mile.
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
You are cute. You're likable. Hey. I think America, if they haven't already, are going to fall in love with you.
PFW in progress.
There's nothing much you can do. And there were parts during the performance where it was actually painful. It didn't work. You can't keep doing this week after week after week. Sorry.
All right. You get the three American idols right here: Andy Hart, Tom Casale, and Paul Perillo. Right? Patriots idols?
I'm too old for that.
Too old for
Andy
that?
Actually being the only one young enough to qualify.
How old do you have to be?
28.
Maybe they should have one.
I'm inching ever closer to Paul.
Maybe we should have a...
Not really.
You do realize that.
Because every day you get older, he gets older.
Yeah, but percentage-wise,
no,
he's right there.
But soon I'll be older in number.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Josh.
He's so mysterious. When exactly is your birthday? Next week?
I just worry don't about like it. It's tomorrow, but my birthday is
tomorrow.
My birthday is Saturday and Sunday.
So
that's my real
birthday.
So
you don't want all the balloons that Michelle had?
No, because you know why? After I turn 20, after 21, you stop having birthdays. I'm not that person who turns 27 and gets a limo and gets driven around for their birthday. I think that's retarded.
I think it is too.
You know, Tom Casale and Paul Perillo do have a lot in common.
Both old.
He has a lot of those stupid rules, though. I definitely put birthdays in that category.
Yeah. I mean, I'm one more year closer to death. Oh, joy. Let's have a party.
Well, I don't necessarily look at it like that.
No, I look at it.
Josh from East Calais.
Some of us here
Vermont.
Are a little closer than others.
You know where East Calais, Vermont is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's close to New York, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Yeah. Out of curiosity,
right back
he says...
7.5-hour drive.
Why were the Indianapolis Colts the only team where you couldn't get a local press guy to make a pick in your writer's draft?
We just could not get in touch with anybody there.
They have a limited number of people that cover the team on a regular basis.
Yeah, and, you know, quite frankly, we were pushing...
Did you get Archie Manning to do it for you?
Well, I tried to get Mike Chappell, who is a very well-respected writer for the Indianapolis Star, I believe, and just wasn't able to get in touch with him. But I tried everybody in the Black Book, and, you know, truth be told, we were running up against deadline, as we often are, you know, waiting till the last minute. That was one of the last picks. We couldn't get it, so we didn't want to, you know,
hold
put the rest
else.
Of it in jeopardy. So we made a pick, went on, and then
and
that was the only one that we
ultimately
didn't get.
Because I know he was covering the tournament.
Yes, and the Final Four was in Indianapolis, and he was covering it. So we had a hard time getting in touch with anybody in Indianapolis.
So we made it up.
Dave from Storrs, Connecticut.
Thanks for noticing, though.
I completely agree with you guys in the draft on ESPN and their horrible interviews. Do you remember when Belichick raved about Mwelde Moore pre-draft, and then during the draft, the Pats traded their pick, which was only a slot ahead of where the Vikings picked him? It was like, what the hell is going on here? hopefully they don't bring Bush on for an interview while the Pats pick, and you know they will, especially because of this house issue. Keep up the good work.
What house issue?
ESPN doesn't like the Patriots, I think. Is that what they're talking about?
Well, I think the Patriots don't like ESPN.
Belichick doesn't like
ESPN.
Tom Jackson?
ESPN in
but
general.
He loves Chris Berman.
He likes Chris Berman. He does
Everybody
not like ESPN
I want to say this very clearly. They hate
their
coach.
That's my opinion. I mean, that's, you know, I don't think that he likes the, I don't think they were very happy last year when they had the thing about Teddy Bruschi being activated for that Buffalo game that night. Yep. I don't think they liked the way the game was presented.
Right.
You know, the Teddy Bruschi, you know, story, yeah. Basically, the Sunday night movie starring Teddy Bruschi. I don't think they like that.
Should have been on Lifetime, for crying out loud.
But, you know, the Melody Moore thing. Belichick in the pre-draft press conference that year talked about him as being a guy that had a lot of different skills and would fit, in their system. I don't remember him saying, you know, this is a guy that we're taking or... You know, to say that he was in love with Melody Moore, I don't think is an accurate portrayal of how he talked about him. And I think that a lot of people come away with any time he says anything specific about a player as saying that, oh, that means that he'll take him if he has a chance. And I don't think, you know, that's true.
Of course it is.
I think he brings up guys that he thinks are examples of players that would fit in the system when he really thinks that he doesn't really have much of a chance to get them. Because it's a good way for him to use... an example.
We should also mention, Paul, that these teams' draft boards are huge. They have
255 guys,
players all over the place. So when Melody Moore was about to get picked, they might have had five or six players they liked better that were still on the board wanted to trade.
Depending
down.
On what had happened before, then guys may have been available who they didn't think would have been available. You know, so
it's like we always after the first four or five picks, it's a huge. And this year, it might only be after the first pick because we're hearing the Raiders want to cover it. So it's gonna,
this is gonna be in our time. I think covering the draft, you know, with the exception of the 2001 when we had a top 10 pick, we had the number 6 pick and took Seymour. I think this is gonna be the most interesting first part of the first round.
Yeah, I agree.
I think there's gonna be some trades. I think there's gonna be some picks. Maybe, you know, even the very first one that we're not expecting.
Tom Caselli has a huge mock draft in his pocket for Saturday. All right.
But anyway, just to end the Melody Moore thing, I don't think that Bill was necessarily being disingenuous when he said that he liked Melody Moore, and then he didn't take him even though he had a chance to or might have had a chance to, and that means that he was blowing smoke. I don't look at it that way.
What does that have to do with interviews during the draft either? I thought.
Well, he's talking about the interviews don't mean anything, because that was an interview, even though it wasn't before the draft.
I thought it was a pre-draft press conference.
It was a pre-draft press conference, it was.
So it's not really tying into the head coach interviews after they select a player.
Bob says, I agree about the poor coverage on ESPN. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe we have a choice this year on the NFL Network. Do you guys know what they're planning for coverage? We talked about that earlier. They're going to have a couple crews.
Yeah, we don't know exactly how they're going to present it. But like I said, the NFL Network, I believe, will be geared to more hardcore football fans than ESPN. So
they're both going to be covering it.
Yeah.
Same way.
Gavel to gavel, both.
We don't know exactly
but I
what
mean,
way.
If you're watching NFL Network or ESPN,
they're gonna have
you
the
should
picks.
Be able to say,
they're gonna have the picks
see
there.
The commissioner say, with the first pick, the
no
Houston
one has,
Texans.
No one has the rights to actually putting the pick on
that's
first.
What I'm asking.
Is that what you're asking?
No.
There's not
no,
many major
because,
events that you see that you can honestly watch on two different...
No. It's like the NCAA
actually,
selection
different ways,
show.
Because if you go to NFL.com, you can watch the commissioner live as well. So
and
it's like the old days.
The NCAA
networks covered football.
The NCAA selection show, when they for the basketball tournament, it's always on CBS. ESPN is on at the same time, but
they
technically
relate.
Can't
right.
reveal the brackets until CBS has already done right. so.
I'm under the assumption from what I've read that it's going to be... They're going to have every pick live as it comes up, just like ESPN
interesting
does.
Interesting to see.
ESPN can't be happy about that.
Well, they can pay for the rights to have it exclusively.
As the NFL has shown before, they own ESPN.
Right.
ESPN doesn't
But you know
own
what
that.
Else, too,
when my favorite show, Playmakers, was removed
exactly.
from the air. Exactly. Both of those entities really benefited from each other because ESPN was absolutely nothing when they started broadcasting the draft. Now, the draft was certainly not the entity that it is today, but that was a lot of programming and a lot of legitimacy for ESPN in its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, the NFL benefited greatly because now look at the spectacle that the NFL draft has turned into, largely as a result of the exposure that ESPN gave it.
And can I correct know-it-all Bob Ryan for a second?
Sure, sure.
He wanted to make everyone look stupid on the sports reporters by saying a lot of people think the draft always was on Saturday, actually what used to be on Sunday.
It used to be in the middle of the week.
It was Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock because I used to take school off to watch
I was going to say, back in the day when I used to pretend I was sick.
So, and making just, Bob Ryan out to be a loudmouth know-it-all, he exposed yourself as a loser.
It's just he did one of those things where he tried to, you know, I know more than everyone else thing, and he was actually wrong. So,
Sean from Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Another draft weekend is approaching, and what that means to the people in New England is another Red Sox series against the Devil Dogs. Just kidding. What does that mean?
When are they playing the Yankees? It's not this weekend. Okay.
All right. God. Just kidding. Anyway, I know rumors are just what they are, rumors, but the latest is the Pats are looking to move up to 13. If they do, what would you want them to draft, Chad Jackson or Chad Greenway?
Chad Greenway. I touch him with a 10-foot pole.
I go against the Paul Perillo theory from 2001. Don't draft a wide receiver that early. Get the linebacker, cornerback, or the tweener in Manny Lawson. See, you guys are being bashed on a Pat site. I guess Tom is getting the most heat, while Paul, rightly deserved, gets the praise. I will say this for Tom. He has improved, and enjoy your draft insight.
Thanks.
Ask him to write back, and what's the Pat site? We'll have to check that out.
The human ego over there. You have to see where he's being
We're getting bashed, idiot. Did you hear the email?
You're getting the praise you deserve.
No. The most praise, but that doesn't mean I'm not getting bashed.
I'm sure your fan club will find it.
I got bashed for saying that Richard Seymour is a better leader than Willie McGinest.
There's nothing
on one of those sites.
Nothing better for a hardcore football fan than draft, because you can say anything and no one's wrong.
Right.
So you can sound like the biggest expert in the world. Unless you don't know where.
I'll tell you something on that topic though, Fred. I'm going to be watching Tom Casale awfully closely.
I know what's going to happen. I never said I'm completely
right. I'm not talking about what's going to happen, because no one knows that. I'm talking about the players. Players that I know what you think of.
Paul,
I'm going to be watching awfully closely.
Get your tape recorder ready right now. I'm about to make another statement. Neither Chad Jackson nor Chad Greenway are one of the top 13 players in this draft, and I am confident.
She would say something I didn't agree with.
I am confident that Bill Belichick thinks that same way.
I agree with you.
Like I said.
And what do you have in common with Bill Belichick?
He's interested in players with talent.
Guys with talent.
I like guys with talent, and I have no other interest other than football. Those are the only two things we have in common. and we're pretty moody. But if they move up...
I don't know if Belichick is moody.
Moody and Fry's mood changes. He's always in a bad mood.
But like I said, if they're moving up to 13, that's for a cover corner. That's for a player that they think is special. And I don't think Chad Greenway or Chad Jackson are projected as special players.
They could sit back at 21. I don't think they'd move up for those.
They could sit back at 21 and wait for one of those guys to fall.
I think there's a better chance of Jackson being special than Greenway personally. Although I also would not trade up to 13 for him.
I think Fred is on the money on that.
I didn't watch the draft highlights that Andy and Tom did on Chad Jackson, but I did see him play. I mean, when he actually was at Florida, and I don't see a special receiver. He's a good player, but I don't think he's great. And I don't see a guy worth trading up for.
Phil from Austin. My little, I was just thinking before I read the scene. I can just see us in that booth because we're in this like.
What stinks is that guys are behind you. So like you like to look at people like this is perfect because we're around a table and we can all make fun of each other and see. But then you're always behind us when we're sitting there and you want to like turn around and yell at people and you feel like you're yelling out the window.
I predict now that we'll be yelled at least 4 or 5 times in the first round by Tom to shut up while the TV's on.
Oh, yeah. You can't listen to the coverage when you're on the radio, just so you know. When they make the pick,
I'm talking about even when we're not on the radio, he'll tell us. Anyway, that's okay.
He'll be yelling late in Sunday when they're talking about the 7th round.
Tom, I won't. Think a guy should be taken at number 15 and he doesn't go until 40, I'm not going to be yelling at you about that. But I know the guys that you think are pretty good players in this draft, and if they're out of the league in 2 years, I'm going to be reminding you of that.
It's more like I am confident that, like, Yabody And now you got
that's the kind of thing. Now, if Darnell Bing and Ashton Yabody turn out to be all pros,
then I'm
going to let you know about that a few years down the line.
And I'm expecting to hear about it.
Let's see, Phil from Austin. My little suggestion for speeding up the draft a little. Right now, the coverage starts at noon with the commissioner coming out and saying that the Texans are on the clock for the next 15 minutes. The Texans have been on the clock for the past 4 months. If they haven't made up their minds by 12 o'clock on Saturday, they should forfeit the pick and fire Charlie Cassidy.
Well, that's for trades.
I agree. 15 minutes is ridiculous.
No, it is, but they do that for the trade.
Oh, I know.
What's worse, isn't it 10 minutes in the second round?
Yes, it should be 10 minutes in the first round, five for every round.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's what will make you.
Here we go. You ready?
For every minute extra you take in when it's your pick, that player gets more money.
Huh? Read the next email.
Again, he's the guy in
charge. I'm trying to liven it up a little. Trying to, you know, get a little real world suspense going.
People are excited enough. The draft has a
enough people are excited.
It's going to be covered on two.
There's enough people excited.
Plus on this radio.
Go down to that tent on Saturday and see how many people are there.
About 600, I think.
Well, that's a lot of people, and
that's
many
a lot
more.
Of
there's many more watching on TV.
I mean, that's a lot of people.
Those people paid to watch the draft on TV.
Something that Tom would have done, you know.
I don't know. I'd never do that. Watch a draft.
No, you would by yourself for nothing. These guys are paying to do it.
They paid a lot.
Gary would pay if the cheerleaders were there.
I don't care about cheerleaders on draft.
You ever notice that Gary always says, business. I have to work the party?
I like young girls.
That's what he's working the cheerleaders.
Oh, he's working it all right. Working it. I just love Tom's. I like young girls.
I like young girls.
I do.
Al writes in, I understand let me start over. I understand there continues to be the ongoing debate of need versus value in the draft. I just hope this is a year where the team understands the ongoing and remaining need at linebacker and gives that vital need a little more weight than value generally. This is also supposed to be a good year for linebackers. Last year, Ted Johnson retired long after the draft, but this year, we know he's gone. Willie McGinnis is out, and we better understand the status of Teddy Bruschi. Our guys are all over 30, except for Rosie Colvin. We saw last year that plugging in free agent vets at linebacker did not work well. Unless there is a huge value available at another position, I'm hoping for three linebackers taken among the Pats' selections within the top 206 picks. Three linebackers.
Well, that's why I don't think they'll trade up for a linebacker, because I think the class is so deep at 21. Unless there's a specific player they're just absolutely in love with, I just don't think it's going to be a linebacker if they do trade up to the 13th pick.
And I like some of those second-tier guys that you guys have been telling me about all along, the Darryl Tapps and players like
that's
that.
That's a guy I love,
you know, I mean, I think you could get one of those just sitting in your regular spot in the second or third round, and, you know, some of those guys would be available. I mean, I like Bobby Carpenter. If he's at 21, I think that's a strong consideration.
I
think there's a way to get good players
elsewhere. In me just keeps saying that Belichick isn't happy with that secondary.
Yeah.
It just, you know, and I think Asante Samuel is overrated. And I think teams pick on him. I think the good passing teams, when I was here last year, that played the Patriots.
He certainly isn't a shutdown quarterback.
See, I don't think he's overrated. I think he was put in a position that he's not capable of fulfilling.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah. I think Bill thinks he's a pretty good second or third corner. Unfortunately, he's his first corner.
Right.
I think that Ellis Hobbs is similar.
I do too.
I will say this. The jury's still out on Ellis Hobbs because he was just a rookie last year. He could get better. He could potentially be something better. I think we kind of know what Asante Samuel is. He's played extensively the last 2 years. He's good, but I don't think he's ever going to be great.
Right. Right.
And I think you need, you know, I've heard some people analyze, the NFL lately with this draft talk. And some of them say, you know, in the league today with the rules, you know, really cutting down on the physical play for the defensive backs, you don't necessarily need a shutdown corner. And I couldn't disagree with that more. I think it makes it all the more imperative to have a guy that you know can lock down the other guy's receiver, because I think it is geared more to the passing game than ever before. And if you don't have a guy that can do that, then I think you're at a disadvantage. And I think Samuel and Hobbs, I think, might, in a perfect world, would be solid two or three corners, but one of them is going to be asked to be a number one guy, and I'm not sure that they're capable.
And you can do a lot of different things with a guy like that. The Antonio Gates struggles the most against the Broncos because they actually put Champ Bailey on him for the whole game and try to take him out that way. So when you have a guy like a Champ Bailey, you can do a lot of different things like that. Where I agree with you. I think this whole thing that you don't need shutdown corners anymore, I just think it's ridiculous.
Tom, what's the latest buzz on Jason Allen?
I told you, I said on the radio when I was on one of those shows that I think his agent is doing the best
track
job.
Of all your appearances.
No, I was just saying, I thought I said it on here. I was going to say I said it on here, but it wasn't.
That's probably with Russ Francis.
I think his agent is doing the best job of any agent in the world because they got this guy in the middle of the first round now. First of all, he's failed physicals with some teams right. because of his hip. Second of all, he's not nearly as good as like a Dante Whitner or someone like that. So whoever his agent is, I give take my hat off to.
Okay, Larry has his six rounds worth of picks for the Pats.
Let's do it.
First round, he's got three.
I mean, if you're going to do the first six, why do you stop
there? I don't know. Just, for some reason, he stops at six.
After the six, he said, it's just shit doing the seven.
He's got Chad Greenway as the first option. Second would be Manny Lawson. Third would be Bobby Carpenter.
Wait, option.
Oh, okay. These are three options for the first pick. I was like, no way all those guys are going to be available.
I'll take Carpenter.
And he says if they're gone, trade out of there.
So Greenway, Lawson, and Carpenter. If those three are all gone by 21, trade.
Right.
Well, how do we do? D'Angelo Williams might be available.
I know, Andy knows, and other people who have played the position know that Greenway was the second best linebacker on that team. That's all I'll say.
Round two, if no linebacker is taken in round one, Thomas Howard from UTEP Richard Marshall, Maurice Stovall, Jeff Webb.
Not Thomas Howard. He doesn't fit well into the system. He's a former safety. He still looks like a safety. Very slim build. I think he's more your Tampa Colts type of player, not this system.
Okay, Richard Marshall, will he be available?
I don't think he will, but if he was, I think he'd be a definite possibility.
Richard Marshall could be around in the second round, but that might be a stretch.
Yeah,
he might have to trade up in the second round.
Right.
Stovall should
Stovall,
be
Stovall, for sure.
I'd actually like to get Marshall in the second and Stovall in the third.
Okay, here we go. Two options in round three, either Jarius Norwood, running back from Mississippi State, or Joseph Addai.
Ooh, that's an easy one.
LSU.
Yeah, that's
Norwood.
An easy one.
I'm going to go with Tom here, and I'll go with Norwood just based on Tom's recommendation.
Okay. Third.
Actually, I don't need.
Oh, no.
I'll take the other player available opposite Joseph Addai.
Round three.
No, it's not us.
Two picks in round three.
Him to pause.
Yeah, he's got. Oh, okay. I got you. Chris Kogong is the other option.
Kogong.
Yeah. And then the
he just says yeah.
And then he's got third pick, I guess.
No, we're in the third round now.
Third round pick.
Second, third round pick. Chris Kogong and who?
He was from the other. Norwood, Joseph Addai, or Chris Kogong.
Kogong. I would take Norwood out of those three.
I already have Dan.
And then
I don't need
the next pick, he's got. Will Blackman or Darren Coolidge?
Darren Coolidge.
Darren Coolidge.
Darren Coolidge?
I'm just reading what he's written.
This is going to be fun on Saturday.
And then six. Oh,
you know,
no.
The worst part is no one's done less research than I have, and I'm getting the names that he's missing.
No, you know what? These are all
take calls.
The round three picks. He didn't go into the sixth round. The sixth option in the third round is Pat Ross, the center from BC.
I will take college.
I don't mind Ross either.
You got to have
By the way, how do you not know Darren Coolidge? We've talked about him, I would say, three straight weeks on this show. We talked about him being from Alaska.
Oh, I don't listen to you.
Maybe you should start.
What was I going to say?
Who knows?
Any word on Dan Copen's injury? How's he doing?
Well, I thought it was interesting that Jim Tressel said that the Patriot scouts and coaches were interested in Nick Mangold, the first-round center prospect. So that may be something where if there's players that the Patriots like aren't there at 21, maybe they trade down and take a center. That would be a nice curveball that everyone's waiting for the curveball. That would be one of them.
We know that Copen is indeed working out in the off-season program because when we were walking down here, I looked in the weight room, and he was working out in the weight room. So Fred likes those when we throw those little tidbits in.
There you go.
Well, he either likes them or you end up getting slap on the wrist for it.
Jeff
listens to the show that works in this building.
Jeff from Reston, Virginia, has gone to the trouble of creating a color-coded chart that allows us to see what the Patriots can do this weekend as far as trades. We can go as high as 13 by packaging our first and second round picks. We can also package a fourth in our third rounder to jump up into the back of the second round. Any thoughts on trades?
They're just so hard to project. I think it's easier to say who would they take if they went up to 13 than where are they going to trade to, because who knows, and it's just too hard to project for me at least.
They will trade.
Yeah, there'll definitely be trades by the Patriots.
Well, I think one of the reasons why a lot of people are assuming if they, 13 is because of that chart, the point chart.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's about, we were looking at that today because I think Todd McShay from ESPN.com, Scouts Inc., was suggesting that the Patriots have interest in trading up to 13. Andy and I looked at the chart this morning, and they could easily do that just by the way the emailer said. The point differential based on that Jimmy Johnson chart would seem to make that a match. But the bigger question is what Tom says. It's easy to say, well, yeah, let's trade up. But identifying why a team wants to trade up is difficult because, number one, you don't know who's going to be available. And, number two, you don't know exactly who a team deems worthy of moving up for. I mean, would Ty Hill be worthy of it?
Right.
I think so.
That's why even
them,
the chart.
But I don't think Chad Jackson is worthy.
The chart's kind of a good gauge,
right?
But really,
it's not the be all end all.
It's not because if there's a general belief that there are 12 blue chip prospects, those first 12 picks are worth more than they are in another year when there's 8 or in a year when there's 16.
Did you read, Fred, the Tuesday Morning Quarterback yesterday, which returned to ESPN.com?
I didn't read it, but I heard that they mentioned the Patriots' Chinese website.
They did. Yeah. They did mention that.
Let me ask you something. When was that chart invented? Because apparently Mike Ditka didn't have it next to him when they selected.
No, it was evidently Jimmy Johnson is given credit for kind of putting that into the mainstream when he was in Dallas, because he made tons of trades with draft picks. Mm-hmm. But he was talking about how you could trade the entire fifth round for like the 13th pick. Who would you rather have? The 16th pick of the draft or every player taken in the fifth round? so he's had some fun with that. You like that guy. Is it Greg Easterbrook?
Yeah, he is very good.
You like him?
Yeah.
I don't share Andy's enthusiasm with his effort from yesterday, however. I thought it was rather dull and mundane, but, what are you going to do?
That's Andy.
Okay.
But, he probably had a couple of boob jokes in there somewhere, so Andy thought it was good.
Hey, now let's get serious. Let's get back.
I don't know if you know it, Tom, but the draft is coming up on Saturday.
All right, we got a lot more emails to get to, so why don't we do that right after this break, Gary?
The defending Eastern Conference champion New England Revolution are back, and the Revs want you to be a part of the action when they open their 2006 home schedule. Sunday, April 30th, come see 2005 MVP Taylor Twellman. Rookie of the Year Michael Parkhurst, Clint Dempsey. And the rest of the Revolution as they take on the Chicago Fire. And all fans at Gillette Stadium will take home a 2006 Revolution schedule magnet sponsored by Bank of America. Free. And get to the stadium early and enjoy the interactive theme park soccer celebration. Free at every home match. Plus, this season, parking is also free. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable day for the whole family. Tickets are just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222. And get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution. Revolution. 2000 brought Tom Brady.
Tom Brady launches a 60-yard bomb.
Next, it was future Pro Bowler Richard Seymour.
Patriots' terrific first-round draft pick.
And don't forget about Super Bowl 39 MVP Deion Branch.
Touchdown, Deion Branch.
Who will be the next to make their mark for the New England Patriots? Find out on Saturday, April 29th. Huddle up at the home of the three-time world champions at the 2006 Patriots NFL Draft Party. Watch the draft on huge TV screens and get War Room updates from the Patriots front office. The Patriots draft party features a lunch buffet, raffles, free parking, visits from the Patriots cheerleaders and alumni, and much more. The Patriots are looking for a few good men.
With the 21st pick, the New England Patriots select and you can be there. Tickets for this event are $65. For more information or to purchase tickets, log on to Patriots.com or call 508-698-8590. The 2006 Patriots Draft Party, presented by the Massachusetts Army National Guard. The defending Eastern Conference champion New England Revolution are back, and the Revs want you to be a part of the action when they open their 2006 home schedule. Sunday, April 30th, come see 2005 MVP Taylor Twellman.
Taylor Twellman!
Rookie of the Year Michael Parkhurst, Clint Dempsey.
Dempsey on a goal!
And the rest of the Revolution as they take on the Chicago Fire. And all fans at Gillette Stadium will take home a 2006 Revolution schedule magnet sponsored by Bank of America. Free. And get to the stadium early and enjoy the interactive theme park soccer celebration free at every home match. Plus, this season, parking is also free. New England Revolution soccer is an affordable day for the whole family. Tickets are just $18. Call the Revolution ticket office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222. And get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! 3-2, Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear, exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player, or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Gave me the finger. Oh, that means go. We're back here in PFW in progress. We're here for about another 25 minutes. What?
I don't know. I can't really hear you, I don't think.
Yeah, something is, yeah, my mic's on.
I can hear you.
I can hear me. All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio at patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. I want to know what are we selling this weekend, Gary? Call up Ken Flanders. You got him? You got him? So retail director, Ken Flanders. He's Floyd the Barber. He's never in his office.
He's never in his office. This is not good radio.
That's it. I'm waiting 3-1. He's not there.
This is when he goes out for his two-hour lunch.
You've reached
not,
the desk
he's
of
Ken not there. He's
oh,
never
this is
there.
When he gets his boss lunch, and we know who his boss is.
This is going to be like an every show thing. We're going to call him up. We're going to get his voicemail. All right, just want to remind everyone that the Patriots draft
Thank
day
you.
Cap is going to be available. The same cap that the Patriots draft picks will be handed when they're picked. So you can get that
Have
online.
Have you seen it yet, Fred?
Yeah, it's like a white cap.
It has a big logo on the back, right?
Yeah.
It's not those 1977 retro jogs.
No, that one year they gave away those trucker hats. It was ridiculous.
What, the ones with the mesh?
Yeah.
The mesh
in the back and the
flat
brim front.
That you can serve a sandwich on.
Well, all hats start with a flat brim.
Yeah, no, some come pre-curved.
But they also, you're a funny, funny guy. Very, very high on the unintentional comedy scale.
Let's see. Gary from Syracuse. Tell me that the Pats will not use their first pick on a wide receiver. You can get a wide receiver in the later rounds. I have never.
You can get a guard in the later rounds. You can get anything in the later rounds.
In the first round make a big impact. Just because the Pats need a wide receiver doesn't mean they should draft him first.
Never seen a wide receiver taken in the first round make a big impact.
Just ask the 49ers with Smith last year. I'm sure they would have done things differently.
You're not going to fall for the banana and the tailpipe?
Very good.
He is correct when he says rookie wide receivers don't make a huge impact usually, but there have been guys in the first. I mean, Roy Williams a couple years ago had a pretty big impact during his rookie season. So
Terry Glenn set a record.
Right. Yeah. Terry Glenn is another one.
For the Patriots.
In front of a Patriots
fan. You do get guys. It's not, you know, usually when there's like five receivers drafted in the first round,
yeah.
One of those guys will probably
make an
impact.
One or two of them might have a productive year, and the other three are a little bit slower developing, but There's a lot of first-round receivers that were pretty good players.
I don't think none of them are in this draft, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't want a wide receiver in this draft. In the first round.
You don't want a wide receiver at all?
I don't want a wide receiver in the first round.
Yeah, but you were saying back in when they picked Seymour that they should have taken David Terrell.
I was wrong. But I wanted either David Terrell or Corin Robinson. I was wrong. Obviously, they got a better player.
I resign.
That's what I said at the time.
Did you not accept that resignation? Why is he still here?
Well, he's got about 10 for me. So
I figured it would be worse for him if I made him keep working.
You got that right.
No, I imagine where I would be if I had to resign. I would
You'd be an ink-stained wretch at the Herald.
Nah, I'd be nothing.
No, they don't want him.
They don't want me.
He's tried.
Can you imagine where I would be?
You'd be doing agate for high school games.
I'd be in prison for shooting Fred.
What? Craig from England. I have a question. Honestly, who do you think is the better quarterback, Tom Brady or Peyton Manning? Because I always get into the same argument with my friends. I always say Brady because of 3 Super Bowls and all. However, on the other hand, you have the quarterback who holds the record of TDs in a season. Please, can you settle this argument for me and my mates?
Well, he's better. Peyton Manning was proven last year to be a loser.
He is better, but as these guys, when we were arguing this before, proved to me that the 3 Super Bowls doesn't really, you can't use that. Because what if Manning wins 2 Super Bowls? Now what's your argument? You know what I mean? Now Manning has all the personal numbers and the team numbers.
Well, then I think, look.
I like Brady because of his intangibles, his awareness in the pocket, the way he plays in big games. Those things mean a lot to me. That's what separates them. But they're very, very close.
And watching Manning this past year, and I've been a guy that all along I've said Manning, but watching him this past year, as Andy just alluded to, I've changed my opinion, and I now go with Brady. Now, I always thought Brady was great. I'm not changing my opinion to say that Brady's now good.
These are two Hall of Famers.
Yes, I think they're both great quarterbacks, but I think Brady's better because I think that he plays better on the big stage, and that's a big part of it. Not because his team always wins on the big stage, because he always seems to play well.
Like you said, if Peyton Manning all of a sudden wins 2 Super Bowls, 3 Super Bowls,
then
he will say that he got better and is probably one of the greatest ever.
Yes, then I would have to change again. If he goes out and plays great, not even that he wins, he doesn't have to win 3 Super Bowls. He needs to go out
A game in the playoffs when it's not his fault.
Right, when he consistently wins, you know, like he played great in the playoffs a couple of years ago.
Until they played the Patriots.
Well, but I mean, they played 3 playoff games, and he was out of his mind in the first 2.
I realize that.
I mean,
Kansas City had a bad defense.
If he did that for the most part, then I would say. So, like, why do you not do? I mean, what's Tom Brady's?
He's gonna get all mad.
Well, I just think you're stupid sometimes. I mean, you just ignore things. I mean, Tom Brady's biggest output as a pro, what was that against? Kansas City. Does anybody say,
that was the game plan,
defense
Paul.
Stinks.
That was the game plan.
No one said the defense stunk that day. Everybody said Brady was great.
That was the game plan.
And we very well could have a new chapter in this argument because the man who made Tom Brady a winner is now in Indy with the opportunity to make Peyton Manning a winner. Of course, that's Adam Vinatieri.
All right, Ryan, another person from England. He's from London. He says, the Patriots ran the table with Antoine Smith at running back and Dietrich Ward as the third receiver. If that was sufficient 3 years ago, why should the Pats think about taking a running back or wide receiver in the first round when a shutdown cornerback should be available?
They also won a Super Bowl with a fourth-string quarterback, so why don't we just put a fourth-string quarterback in?
And they won a Super Bowl with Earthwin Moreland and Randall Gay. Because they've won Super Bowls with a lot of crappy players playing.
But there was a guy here by the name of Charlie Weiss who's proven to be a pretty decent coach. And now you have a young coordinator who doesn't have the experience that Weiss has to call plays with lesser talent. And I think that was a problem last year, and I think they need to upgrade at these positions. Listen, I'll tell you what. If Dylan can't run and Brady takes the punishment he took last year, he's not going to make it.
And
he won't make it.
And I'll also say this. Antoine Smith in 2001 and in 2003 was a far... Not marginal, far superior runner than Corey Dillon was last year.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree.
True.
Far better. Far more.
It's fact.
I'm not even talking in terms of production because the numbers may not. But I'm talking about down the stretch into the playoffs. Antoine Smith was a far more effective runner than Dillon was at any point in the 2005 season. 2004, different story.
Okay. You think?
2004,
1600 plus yards.
We all have our swan songs.
Sean from Hazleton, PatsFans.com is the same site that bashed Paul, wrongly, I might add. By the way, bashing Andy, Paul. I enjoy your insight as well. So PatsFans.com
now you're just trying to make up for it.
Is killing us.
What's their problem? What do we do?
They actually think they can compete with us.
Yeah.
Why, do they have, like, radio shows and podcasts and stuff?
I don't know.
They probably have podcasts. Everybody has a podcast now.
Well, if you've ever been on there, they have about 1,000 draft experts, so I guess people don't really need us.
So we get
certainly don't need my draft experts.
I guess PatsFans.com, they're killing us, so that's all right.
It's all right. They got a good site.
They do.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Couldn't tell you. Never
that's who Miguel is tied
for,
in.
If I wanted to, I could shut them down, but that's all right.
For a fan site, I think they do a good job with it.
No question. And they're tied into a network of fan sites, I think.
Have you been
there? Like Pats fans. I think that they're part of...
Go to that site?
That's how I get to Miguel.
Yeah. Why don't you just go to Miguel?
I don't know Miguel's address.
Oh, boy. Once you get there, you know it. It's like an email address. An email from somebody, you know their email address.
We don't mind the good-natured ribbing, just as long as it's true. Like, if you're calling me a cocky loudmouth, then I'm all for it. But don't say things that aren't true.
I didn't think you were going to add the Y to the end of that word. You're calling me.
Well, you can call me that, too, and I'll accept it.
Just don't praise Paul, because his head is big enough, and he doesn't need any more.
I mean, I don't know how many guys have to say they were ripping me before you stop saying they're not
praising.
He
was praising you.
Sean's my buddy.
Yeah, well, we got to...
On the site, they're ripping me.
Paul, I don't think anybody is really ripping you on that, to be honest with you.
They just spelled your name wrong.
I'm just like you, Tom. I would rather have them ripping me than not... appear anywhere.
Right.
That's Fred's thing. Any publicity is good publicity.
Yes.
Right. Just spell my name right.
They didn't. They spelled it P-A-R.
Well, since someone who worked actually for us spelled my name wrong on a show that we produced on Patriots Today, I can't really...
He no longer works here, Paul.
He no longer works
plus
for the organization.
Plus, we all think
had
the telegram.
Plus, Paul was my roommate as not Paul.
Gary.
Checked into a hotel at a Super Bowl under a different name.
Call comes to us direct from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
Luckily, we skipped the next
Super Bowl. Now, PatsFans.com is a good website. They got a lot of knowledgeable fans on there. I actually prefer it to KFFL.
I can't. Well, I hate KFFL.
Yeah,
so
KFFL I don't really care for.
I can't comment on Pats fans.
Why is it on KFFL there's so many Pats fans?
Because Pats fans
there's
Pats.
More on PatsFans.com.
They're all Pats fans, but I'm saying
it's good reason.
No, but I'm saying I'm talking about the message board.
No, I know. I
spirituality, faith, and democracy.
On the KFFL message board, the number of Patriots posts far exceeds.
We are all Patriots.
Why is
the only one that's like I said before? The Vikings have
they usually have double digits.
Right, they're the only other ones, but the Patriots always have the most.
At any time during the day, you can go on there, and every other team will be less than 15.
Right.
Usually 28 teams in single digits, and the Patriots will have between 50 and 80.
And you know what makes it interesting? It's not like other fans don't do that stuff at all. Because on any given day when Dante Culpepper gets traded to the Dolphins one will have a peak, and they'll have a bunch of people.
See, I always figure that there must be other sites.
There is, like the Cowboys.
No, there definitely is. But I'm saying those fans go to this site on the days when the news is big. Patriots fans go every day and talk about the best guard to be drafted in the third round.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the Patriots message board on that particular site.
Well, you don't like anything. You're an old curmudgeon.
Paul doesn't think fans should participate in message boards.
Oh, God.
You can't email from sitting in your seat at a game and asking the person in front of you to sit down.
While you're drinking your diet.
Let me hear a more ridiculous character assassination.
Have that guy email back in and tell me they at least took a couple shots of Andy Hart, too. I don't mind getting a couple shots, but don't tell me Andy Hart's getting away.
Biggest buffoon of them all, Andy Hart.
Why am I a buffoon?
Well, although, you know, when you do ride the fence on everything.
I don't ride any fences.
I guess it's hard to get criticized.
Hey,
I'm just happy with myself that I know who Darnell Bing is, because most people don't know
according to Jerome Solomon, no one knows who he is.
Tom doesn't like to dance around names and stuff. He goes right for it.
I don't like him.
He likes writers with talent. Susan.
Boy, this is going in a bad direction.
Susan in Budapest. Remember her?
Yes, Susan. It's
been a while.
She says, my $40 million question for Saturday is... do the Jets really think we are that stupid to believe them that they do not want Leinart? Come on, Pennington is done.
I don't think they're going to draft Leinart.
Yeah, I'm not sure they'll take Leinart.
Really?
Because what you look at here is they have Pennington. They traded for Patrick Ramsey. Then they take a quarterback
yeah,
in the second round.
But now they say Pennington can't make it for training camp again? Oh, come on,
oh,
man.
Mini camp. He won't be throwing in June mini camp.
Really? I thought it was Fred, training
all camp. All I'm saying is from what I've read from the Jets people, like the New York writers, is that they don't believe any of those quarterbacks are worthy of the number four pick. Now, they may trade down, but that's what the Jets think. Whether it's right or wrong, I'm just telling you what they're reporting out of New York.
I've also heard a lot of reports of people that think Patrick Ramsey really got a bum deal in Washington, and that the
I've
Jets
that
think
lot,
he
too.
Could be a legitimate starting quarterback for the future.
And I'll tell you what.
Against Brady.
You got, there is one thing you should mention about Ramsey.
Gotta throw that in.
Borges Jr. over here.
When people throw the things in about number 11.
Trying to display how stupid the one-loss record is.
But the thing about Ramsey is he played under Spurrier, who gave him no protection, and I think he got a little gun-shy because he got absolutely murdered.
And that's what a lot of people talked about, is when he came out, you know, as a rookie, he really showed a lot of promise and then kind of got, you know, knocked around a little bit, and he never really got a fair shake last year.
Why did they give up on him?
He played that first game last year.
Veteran quarterbacks.
Exactly. He played that first game last year.
Parcells.
And if you remember, they played Chicago, who at the time wasn't thought to be anything, and they won 9-6 on opening day. And it was like, oh, my God, how bad is the Washington offense? Patrick Ramsey stinks. They put Mark Brunell in there. They proceeded to win all their other games the rest of the season 9-6 and, you know, set a record for futility for a winning playoff team. They were so bad. They had 40-something yards of passing offense against Tampa Bay. Well, that wasn't Patrick Ramsey's fault.
No, it wasn't.
So maybe the offense just wasn't all that good.
And you know what? He's an interesting guy to keep an eye on for Patriot fans, because I agree with these guys. I don't think he did get a fair shake in Washington. Now, does that sometimes you start your career like that and you never recover? But maybe he gets a change of scenery, and he's got a strong arm. It'll be interesting.
And I'll also say this to defeat my own argument. I think Joe Gibbs kind of knows what he's doing. So,
he may have had a reason
for not giving him. You know, he may have not really liked him a lot during training camp. It might have been.
But he's old school. He might.
Yeah,
he
does
something in the back of his head that says, "I don't like Patrick Ramsey.
Tom,
I don't want him."
Tom is right about the veteran quarterback thing. He likes to have guys that aren't, you know, generally aren't going to make the big mistake. And
what I think Ramsey was in Washington was he was the middle guy, because Gibbs wants to win now, so he's got the older guy. Then he set the franchise up for the future when he's gone. By getting Jason Campbell, and Ramsey was kind of in the middle there, so he was the odd man out.
But I'm not convinced that Ramsey can't play, and I think that they're in a situation right now where, you never know what's going to happen, because I thought they were probably in a situation like this last year with Fiedler.
Yeah, and you know
what? Fiedler got hurt right off the go, and they were, you know, their season was a mess.
Yeah, but this is even better, because if Ramsey has to play and then plays well, then you say, well, maybe we've solidified our quarterback.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't need to draft a quarterback even next year.
If Fiedler comes in,
I agree with you.
Fiedler's a couple years, and then what do we do? And Ramsey could be a
six-year,
eight-year guy.
I was just going to say, Andy, right now, Mangini's playing with the house's money, because he's taken over a bad team.
Right.
He can fiddle around with it, go with a young guy like that and see what happens, and then set it up for next year.
Right.
Dave from Stores, sorry if my previous email was unclear. I was referring to the intriguing situation of the Pats trading out of that slot. Remember, I was going through all his picks.
Oh, that was the color-coded one?
In the fourth round, and how, if there is a similar situation this year, ESPN would, for example, talk to Reggie Bush about a stupid issue like the one he is having with the NCAA and his housing situation that may threaten his Heisman. Okay.
Well, or they'll talk about Dante Culpepper or Brett Favre or T.O. while your team's on the clock. Don't worry. Somehow they'll screw it up.
Okay. Which will have the volume up on which one? NFL Network?
I would like to see some NFL Network coverage just so we have some insight on what they're doing and we can talk about it.
Did you arrange to have, in all seriousness, the two TVs in our little booth?
Well, I got this cable splitter.
So we don't have two TVs?
No, well, we have... Stacy said he could bring up an extra one for us.
Are you lying to me?
No,
I'm really
serious.
Is this going to be like our intern?
No, I have the cable splitter, and we have cable. So
my money says we have one TV if we're lucky.
Oh, shut up.
We'll take Larry Johnson's.
And it'll be
fuzzy. I'm working out for you.
And the one channel we'll need will be all fuzzy and won't be really able to see it.
It'll be like game day.
Jason says, seems like what you are saying is that cornerback Hill or Marshall may be the choice in the first. Any more thoughts on Ty Law returning? This might take that need away for this year. Thoughts? What are the thoughts about a kicker? Gronkowski, Houston, or Hughes, or another? What about a trade for wide receivers like Stallworth or Walker?
Well, as Bill says, you don't just play for 1 year anyway. So even if Ty Law were to come back, he doesn't have too many years left to begin with. So if they love Ty Hill, I don't really think that's going to change what they do. And I don't think he's coming back.
And probably not by Saturday.
We all like the Memphis kicker. We think he's the best kicker. But if he's going to get drafted in the fifth round or something, the Patriots won't get him because they won't draft a kicker that high.
And I don't think they should. I really like those compensatory picks for a kicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to one of those, but I have a feeling that they might be, you know, this run seems like they're getting taken a little earlier than I would
prefer
to take them. But I agree with Tom. Ty Law or no Ty Law, they still need a cornerback, and I don't think that would preclude them from taking one in the first round if they were to make a signing. And Andy's right, they're not going to make a signing by Saturday. In either regard, although they might know what they're going to do. They might know they have plans. But here's the thing. Why we talk a lot about how the Patriots don't draft for need, right? They have the value and all that, and they don't take – well, if that's true, if that was 100% true, then what difference would it make what the free agent moves are? Wouldn't you pick the guy that's best on your board regardless of position?
Because nobody drafts purely on value, not need. Need plays a factor in every decision that every NFL team makes.
That's how I feel.
Because if you've got six quarterbacks, you don't need another one.
It's definitely a combination of the two.
And I'll give you a perfect example of a pick that I think was a need pick and not necessarily based on value. Not that it was a bad pick because it turned out to be a pretty good one. Ty Warren. In 2003.
I was going to say last year.
They got run all over in 2002. Everybody in the world knew they needed a defensive lineman. Tom talked about this a couple of weeks ago. And they had a run on defensive linemen that year. Suddenly the Patriots had to trade up a spot to make sure they got one of them. I don't think that they felt Ty Warren was probably one of the top 13 players in that draft. But they needed somebody at that position. They drafted him, and ultimately he was a pretty good player. Now, I don't think that they would have taken him if they didn't feel like he was even worthy of a top second, you know, a second-round status, but that was kind of a need pick.
On the other side of the coin, you could look at a guy like Ben Watson, who they, for some reason, thought was a good value. So they picked another tight end.
They realized they blew the earlier one and said, we need a tight end.
I don't think it's true. I think it was Fred's scenario.
Fred, saying
something just popped into my idiotic head. The moving up to 13, another possibility could be Dante Whitner, the corner slash safety from Ohio State.
Is he that highly regarded?
I think if Belichick gets his hands on that guy, he'll be a Pro Bowler in 2 years.
Rodney in the making?
Yeah, because he can do everything. Blitz, play the run. He's exceptionally fast in the secondary. So that's just another name that kind of popped into my head.
Trading for the wide receivers, I say no on Walker definitively. And Dante Stallworth, I'd be
more intrigued.
I'd be intrigued with if I could get him for the right price.
Okay. Let's see. Who is this?
Don't know what that price would be. But
DeBrick from Revere. You know what DeBrick from Revere?
No, I think I know everybody in Revere.
What he's done is he's listed all the schools that the Patriots have drafted from since the year 2000.
Holy crap.
Here we go. They've never drafted anybody from Cal Poly, so they're not going to draft Chris Gokong.
So he says, because of this list, he says, this leads me to believe that the Pats will focus on these schools in the draft.
The SEC would be an area to watch.
Yeah, you know why? Because they have good players.
Exactly.
But really, you know, they haven't drafted anyone, I don't know if this is correct, since 2000 from Notre Dame, but I'll bet
David Givens.
That's true, and he's not listed here. So.
And we should mention,
Ari Holloway.
And we should mention that their players stunk.
And they took two of them.
One of which had the audacity.
He said, and are still on the roster.
Oh, and are still on the roster. Okay, well, that would preclude David Givens or Jabari Holloway.
Yeah. I don't really see the significance.
But and Charlie Weiss wasn't there. I'm pretty sure Bill and Charlie Weiss have had a couple of conversations over the last few months.
I would imagine that there'll be at least one Notre Dame person picked.
Yeah, I'll guarantee it. That'll take care of that.
no chance.
You can take that song off now, Gary. You don't have to play that.
All right. Any closing thoughts, guys, before Saturday? I want to remind everyone that 3-6 on Saturday is when we'll have our show. And hopefully the Patriots will be drafting somewhere in that time, unless they've moved up. And if they did, we'll obviously have a lot to talk about at 3 o'clock. And then on Sunday, 12-3. So 3-6 Saturday, 12-3 Sunday. He's still not in his office. What is he doing for like a two-hour lunch?
Hi, you've reached the desk.
He's still not there.
My closing thoughts would just be that I'm really looking forward to this one as much as any of the recent years that we've had a draft. It seems like a lot of stuff going
Maybe
on.
Maybe I just what's, Fred, what's your pick?
For Ty Hill.
At 21.
So, in the first round.
Okay, so you're...
I don't know how they're going to get him, but they're going to get him.
I'm going to stick with what we've had, like Andy said at the beginning of the show, for 3 months, Bobby Carpenter.
Yeah, I'm going to – I say one of those two.
I like Carpenter.
I say 21 Carpenter, 21 Carpenter, trade uphill.
Notice it's both defense. All right, we'll talk to you on Saturday.
I wanna be what you be drinking. Yeah, I just want to be.